Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 294. My name is Christopher Keough, and that lovely voice was Jason A. Stryker.
Howdy.
Hey, man. Missed you last week.
I know. I missed you, too.
I know. But all the listeners got to hear you, so that's good. And Jeff Chorney's with us.
What up?
So, normal crew today. We're going to do something a little bit different. So, Gamescom was this week, and we didn't really prepare for that last week. So, what we're going to do is we're going to do some distractions, and then we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about all the news from Gamescom. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and we will talk about the question of the week, which we mentioned last week. So we will move the question of the week until next week's show, and we're going to talk about Gamescom this week. But before that, Jason, how did you enjoy your week off?
Was it a week off? I was busy still. I was working. I wasn't procrastinating. I wasn't watching Salty Bet all the time. No, it was good. Yeah, I was busy because, we had, a couple, like, social gatherings at work. It was the last night out for a couple of the interns and stuff. And then followed by, let's see, what did I do all weekend? Oh, it's studio stuff. And, I was working on a review for the site, which I haven't put up yet. I really should do that. Huh.
That would be good.
Yeah, I should probably finish that. Anyway. it was busy. The other video guy is out in Germany for Gamescom. And, so I've been kind of pulling double duty. It's been pretty crazy, but, it's been good and fulfilling.
Good.
All right. I think it's about it.
All right. Jeff, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Recovering from a fun ass weekend T's birthday.
Yeah.
On Friday. So we started off Friday going out with the family to a steakhouse and stuff in our face with meats and stuff. And then on Saturday, we went to the Toronto Islands. It's pretty awesome. I doubt you guys have been there, because why would you have been there?
I didn't know you guys had islands.
We have islands, yes.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun. Went out there and set up shop and had a barbecue, and there's probably about 20 of us while I went out there and did stuff you do in like a park, each type of area. Threw frisbees, kicked footballs, threw footballs, you know, did that, drank, ate. I went out to a bar afterwards, and it was a lot of fun, and I can remember most of it, so that's good. But I was kind of a mess by the end of the night.
whenever you remember a time when you drank, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Usually.
I'm surprised I do, because we got there at like 11. I think everyone started like kind of cracking open their drinks at like 12-ish, and then we, for the majority of us went to about 1:30 in the morning or so. So it's quite a long time.
That is.
But it was good. It was fun.
All right.
And, that's basically it. Now I'm here.
Sweet.
Welcome.
Welcome. Glad to have you here, Jeff.
Thanks,
man. Not much on this side, man. Just really, really busy at work. And let's see. The only other thing to mention is Alora's birthday is this weekend. She's turning one.
Happy birthday, Alora.
Yeah, she's turning one. So, we're not doing her birthday party this weekend. We're doing it next weekend. But she's
good. We still have time to finish the gift. Okay, good.
So, she's doing pretty good. She's said a few words already. She still doesn't have any teeth. And she's almost walking. She's like, she can stand up for probably a good minute without falling down right now. So she's doing pretty good.
I was like, man,
right.
Good, she doesn't have teeth then. So,
yeah. I
mean, as soon as she starts walking, then they start, you know, biting kneecaps and stuff. So just be gumming.
It's just funny because she's a year old and she's got the big crinkle nose, like toothless smile. It's awesome. But, yeah, so that's good. And her words are right now, she's got, she says dog, with the at the end. So dog.
Dog.
And then she says, what else is she? Mama and Dada, obviously. And then, what was the other one that she said? Fuck, I can't remember. She didn't say fuck.
Fuck.
She didn't say fuck. But,
soon.
The other day, Liam still doesn't. The other day, she pointed at Liam and said Liam. I swear he said it and Crystal heard it and she hasn't done it since then. And I about lost it. I'm like, did you just say Liam's name? You know? And, you know, she hasn't done it since then, but, yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, that's it. So, let's talk about games.
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna be disappointing this week, so. Jason, why don't you go first?
Oh man, where do I start? Charlie Murder is the shit. I'm serious. It's, you know, I gotta say, I think the combat is more satisfying in Charlie Murder than it is Dragon's Crown. I feel like I'm more in control. Like when I hit something, it like I can feel when I hit it, and I can feel every hit. Whereas in like Dragon's Crown, it's just like a whole bunch of fucking mashy, just and you know, if you hit somebody enough times, they'll like get knocked back, and you know, then they're invulnerable, and you don't know when you can start hitting them again. I don't get that feeling in Charlie Murder. I love the art style. I love the music. I love the level up stuff. It's just all around super, super good.
I play the trial. I like that a lot. I haven't pulled the trigger on it yet, but. Should I?
Please do. Yes. Please do.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, yeah, I want to do that co-op with some close friends.
All right.
And I consider you a close friend,
I did,
Jeff.
I did like, well, thanks, man. It has been a long time.
Since you had a close friend? Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad we're finally opening up to one another after this time. Totally. Go get that. What else came out on Xbox? Oh, Flashback came out.
It did.
I just
picked it up last night. Finally got around to playing it tonight, and I could only stomach about 10, 15 minutes or so. It's really fucking bad.
I'm wondering why is it bad?
Yeah, is it because did you play the original?
Oh yeah, and I love the original, and I think that's, you know, I mean, I think a majority of people that love the original are interested in this, and I think a lot of people who didn't like the original really aren't that interested. Anyway, a lot of shit has changed. I mean, everything's kind of that 2.5D, which is okay. That's fine. You know, it kind of looks like a Shadow Complex.
Yeah.
You know, kind of 2.5D. And that's fine and well. As far as the other, like, aesthetics, as far as the sound is concerned, it didn't seem like they really pulled in any of the old sound effects or musical cues.
No, it doesn't have any.
Yeah, which is disappointing because I don't get that nostalgia factor. But my biggest gripe with the aesthetics is this, like, the dialogue, the spoken dialogue. It's written really, really poorly, and it's, I mean, he kind of sounds like this, like, oh my god, I should remember that. when he steps on something that, like, would normally kill you in the original Flashback game, like,
oh, they dumbed it down. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
You can now aim in, like, any direction. The jumping is so much easier. It's not like Prince of Persia, you have to, like, line up every single jump.
It's weird.
Be, like,
I mean,
pinpoint accurate.
Combat, and I'm doing air quotes. Actually, I'm not. I'm just, anyway.
You're pretending combat to air quotes.
In the original game was kind of a strategic thing. Like, you know, you had to draw your gun. You had to wait until, you know, they were open before you started firing. And here it's like, it's just like open all the time. You can draw your gun at any point and fire in any direction, like Jeff said, and just, you know, mash on, you know, your right trigger. So you're fighting like, bear in mind, I haven't played that much of it, but, you know, you're fighting like stupid drones that are flying all over. I don't know why. I just fucking hate it. Okay. Is that all right?
Like, that's fine.
The controls are really shitty. The animation is fucking horrible. And that was one of the really, really cool things of, you know, the game back in the day is the really fluid, you know, animation. You know, just climbing up a ledge or something like that just seems janky as all fuck. You know,
I didn't get that. Not the
you're down below. Like if you're making like a short jump or something like that, you do the short hop and, you know, like maybe you're not gonna quite make it. You know, so you land like halfway on the ledge and your character like breaks in half sometimes. Oh, my favorite part. That's so sarcastic. You can jump
you
off
sarcastic?
A ledge
Never.
And say, "Oh fuck it, I don't want to go off the ledge," and hold the other direction, and you'll actually go back.
Yeah, you can. That's what I mean. I think they made it easier. But I think if they made it like the original, no one who has never played the original Flashback would like that game at all. Cause it was harsh. Like, if you made the wrong timing on a jump, you're basically dead. It was one hit kills basically from anything.
Yep.
And people.
Well, you
just
could get shields
like
later.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but... yeah. Later on in the game, you could, yeah. But they made it a lot more accessible to people. Like, a lot more.
So, I guess. All right. A lot of these old school, like HD remakes, air quotes once again, they're kind of love letters to, you know, these old games. This is not a love letter. This seems not necessarily like a cash grab, but it's like, oh, we've got this license. Let's try and make a game that's kind of similar and just ride the coattails of this name. I don't know. The gameplay, like, infuriates me. The animation is terrible. Voice acting is really, really bad. I don't like the changes that they made to it so far. I don't know if I can go back to it. And I also don't know if I could ever be friends with anyone who likes this game.
I don't like it. I just think you're being overly harsh. Because I think the level design is the same as the original. Everything you're doing is technically the same. It's just it's now they brought it up to the speed of what more games that are like it, that in a similar style, that have made these changes, like aiming everywhere. The fluidity in how you can jump and run, like literally in like a PC, you had to line up everything perfectly, like with keyboard presses, just like inch over, you had to hold down like shift and hit up to jump. It was just really convoluted, but it was awesome at the time because the animation was fucking unbelievable. Visuals are unbelievable. But I will say, yeah, it loses something in the strategic combat for sure. I don't remember the combat being close to this, or even that many enemies, to be honest.
It was fucking hard. It was really hard before.
But I don't know. Yeah. I think I'm getting the same. Most of the stuff I've read is people are saying it's like I said in before, it's DuckTale syndrome, where if you like the original, you may or may not like what they've done to kind of, I guess, quote unquote, modernize it. But what's really a pain is that the game now just doesn't stand up to how it did back then, because like the level design's kind of boring. There's a lot of like backtracking, like in a Shadowrun or a Shadow Complex game, but it doesn't give you anything to make it more fun when you're backtracking. You know what I mean? It doesn't give you like, oh, now you can double jump, and now you got this like extra like move you can do, and now you have this extra gun. It's just basically you're backtracking through this level to get dumb shit to go back and open up a door or something like that. And they added in a map too, like a Metroidvania type map that are in all those games now, which wasn't in the original.
Complete with orange arrows telling you exactly.
Oh, it tells you exactly
where to go.
It's exactly like Shadow Complex. It tells you like where you are and where you need to go. So again, accessibility. I didn't buy it. I thought I was going to buy it. I didn't hate the trial. I was like, it's terrible, but I was also like, it's not that good either. It was basically the same thing as how I feel like with DuckTales. It's like, do I want to buy this game again? Am I going to play it more than once? Probably not. Is it really as good as I want it to? Like, I don't know. Do I buy it, either of these games, to ruin my nostalgia for the old games, or just to say fuck it?
Well, I can tell you this. Buying DuckTales will not ruin your nostalgia for the old game.
But you've played DuckTales. I played DuckTales too, I guess, so yeah. And I guess Jason's played Flashback. Like, Chris, I don't think you'd have as many problems with Flashback. Well, you can just download the trial and see.
I played
you're gonna love
Flashback.
That, you're going to love that voice acting, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, the voice acting is terrible, but I think it was meant to be, like, the lines are cheesy. I think it was meant to be like that. I don't think it was meant to be serious.
No, like, even
dude, some of the lines in that are so ridiculous. They're like memes from the internet and shit like that. It's meant to be dumb.
That is terrible.
And then we're going to talk about another game soon that's based all on that, and you love it.
No, really? Okay. All right. Do you want to talk about Dive Kick?
We can talk about Dive Kick, yeah.
You know, I didn't buy that yet.
That is 100% based off of fighting game community memes and shit like that.
There are a lot of inside jokes there. Oh, and I want to say that, that's really, really different than the horrible fucking writing in Flashback. But,
I agree. I'm just saying it's still based. They're trying to get the same point across. Just one's successful and one's not. It's still trying to base it on inside jokes that people...
See, I'm not getting the internet meme kind of dialogue. I did not get that impression in Flashback. Mm-hmm. I just, like, seriously, like, he walked over an electrified floor, and then this disjointed, fucking horrible voice went, "I'll have to remember that for later."
Oh, yeah, that's
so fucking bad. Anyway, all right. They're not minor gripes. They're affecting me personally, and yes, I hold Flashback a little too close to my heart.
Jason is bitter, is what he's saying.
I didn't buy it either. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was absolute terrible either.
Shit, it's absolute shitballs, Jeff. It is the worst fucking game ever. But no, I mean, check it out, obviously, but I mean, don't pull the trigger unless you've played trial.
Yeah, play the trial.
I want.
I'll have to try the trial out.
It's not getting a good. I think the Metacritic is like 50 something, or like really like high 50s. It's not getting good.
No, it's not. That's kind of why I asked about it, because I heard that game trailers gave it like a 3.5. I'm like, wow.
Oh my god, that's really low.
I haven't watched. That's really low for game trailers. So I haven't watched that review yet, but you know, I'm extremely curious about it because I was planning on buying this game, and now it's just like, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was
seems to be the turd in Summer of Arcade for sure. So far, anyway. We'll see how Ninja Turtles turns out.
I'm not happy about Ninja Turtles. I'll have to see.
Yeah, that looks like ass.
It does look like
ass.
That
might be the worst, yeah. A dive kick. We've talked about this on the show before. Mm-hmm. Really simplified controls. You dive and you kick. There's lots of fighting game memes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not following the fighting game community, you probably won't get 75%.
Yeah. Not that it's necessarily alienating. You just won't enjoy it as much.
Exactly.
I guess. Like it's. I got quite a few chuckles out of it. It's like, they did that, huh? That's funny.
Well, and a lot of the characters are based off of people specifically in that community.
Yeah, and there's little clever nods to other existing fighting game characters, like Dr. Scholes. You know, it's very much baked up.
Dr. Scholes, nice. Yes,
which is, the funny because of the kick thing, the foot thing, mm-hmm. but it's also a nod to Dr. Doom, who has a great dive kick, notorious for being like super cheap. But yeah, so there's that, and there's plenty to smile and chuckle about, if you're a fighting game fan. However, the game itself just really wears out, I think, especially if you're playing single player.
Honestly, dude, just playing like me and you, I got bored after like the hour and a half we played. I was waiting for someone to just be like, "This is Street Fighter or something." I'd be like, "Let's do this." And it's not necessarily because of the game. The lobbies are only two people.
Oh, so that's kind of.
You don't damning get that. Is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah, I think if
that's
you had, like,
where that fun would be. Man,
exactly, you get all that ridiculous, like oh, like that kind of thing, and that's what that game probably thrives off of, like that community environment.
Because I can't. I mean, something like Street Fighter, a more complex fighting game, I can see that striving off of not, it'll thrive without it. But something that's this simple, you want to have that community aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to play. Monopoly one-on-one. I don't want to play Uno with someone one-on-one. That's a sit around a fucking table and play a game, you know, have social interaction and shit. And that's where this game could really, really strive. You know, dude, if we're all in the same room, there's like 5-6 of us, we're all drinking, man, Dive Kick would
be awesome.
Our go-to game.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm having people over this Saturday and I'm going to bust it out and I'm going to tell everyone this is the most complex fighting game ever, but you guys give it a try. And I guarantee you, if I have like 6 people over, they're all gonna fucking love it because it's so simple. Everyone's gonna get so into it. But playing it just one on one or single player, I was just like,
I don't know why people are still playing that online. I don't understand. No. I don't see the allure of playing it just by yourself. Do you know what I mean? Granted, you're playing against another person, but you don't get the same kind of room hype, I guess. That said, it's a super fun like party style game. And you know what? It's only $10.
It's cheap. It's cross-buy.
Yeah. It's actually cross-play, which kind of...
And if you're on PS Plus, it's actually, I think, 15% off or something.
Yeah, so $8 right there. Yeah. I mean, buy it. Seriously, it's $10 and you will get some fun out of it. But man, there's a lot of hype to this fucking game and I just don't see it. I don't understand it. But
yeah, I don't think it'll break out of fighting game community, to be honest. Like a lot of people's arguments are it's so simple to get people into fighting games. I don't think so, because I think it's so simple that I don't think it helps people's fighting game skills. Like, I don't think that's going to be like an entry to Street Fighter.
But you'll get people that will try and argue that point, though. Like, it teaches about spacing and timing.
It'll teach you,
and
like,
mind
timing
games.
And mind games. Yeah.
Nobody's really thinking about that, I think, when they're playing this game.
That's the shit that you learn after in Street Fighter when you're first starting. It's like, a couple moves, mechanics, and then that comes gradually as you play it. This game, you get that shit at the beginning, because that's all you have, is that and dive and kick. And whatever kind of meter.
I don't know. I started thinking, like, going down that route. It's like, oh god, with Marn, I've got to like do a fake out jump, just to get them to, I got to bait them. And
use
I'm like,
float.
Oh god, I'm not having fun with this. I'm thinking about it too much. I'm thinking about it way too much. And then, I just started mashing, dive and kick and just having fun with it, with you guys. And that was more enjoyable. I could, start studying frame data and shit. And I just don't want to.
It just doesn't seem
like
as rewarding.
Kind of game you would do that with.
Yeah.
No,
but there
like,
will be just... people that are just like head over heels in love with it and just want to dissect it. And I don't.
The thing that was the coolest to me is like faking each other out. Like when Jason would get like a good fake out on me and I'd totally try to read him a certain way and then I would totally misread it and then I get kicked in the head. I'd be like, fuck, that was awesome. But to me, that was the only awesome thing about any matches. It was like, it was like, who can fake someone out, do whatever. And I don't think there's much.
And it's so fleeting too. Like it just happens in an instant and then it's over and you're on to the next. You don't get too
early. Just one hit kills, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the most fun that I get out of that game is talking shit and people talking shit back and, mm-hmm. you know, that back and forth.
And the problem is when there's only one on one, it doesn't really work as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know. I don't know if there's any, if they've said if they're going to try to get in lobbies or not, but
no
like real lobbies.
No plans.
Mm-hmm. I think that would help it a lot. Because we talked about it before when we first jumped in. We're like, this would be a really great warm-up matches for Fight Night Thursdays. You know, just get some people in here, play some dive kick for like half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, mm-hmm. and then play like something like Street Fighter or like Injustice. But then once we figured out it was two people lobbies, we're like, yeah, we're probably not going to touch this.
Yep.
Because it's just going to segregate everybody into their own lobbies and just not.
Yeah, and you can't even do straight up invites.
That's another thing.
Yeah, so you can create like a private lobby, but then you just sit in there by yourself. And then if there's somebody on your friends list, they can search for private lobbies and they can see your name or anybody else that's on their friend list that has created a private lobby and it just happens to be sitting out there fucking waiting for some reason. I don't fucking know.
You basically have to, if you're not talking to your friends, like, we're playing.
Yeah.
Your friend. And you say, hey, we're going to play some dive kick. He's like, all right, dude, I got my lobby up. All right, search. There it is.
Such a fucking wasted opportunity. God, it really pisses me off that they don't have, you know, like multiplayer lobbies. That would have been great. Yeah. It would have been great.
It would make sense that you could do it too. It's not like the game is very complicated.
It uses GTPO. It's made by Iron Galaxy, the guys who did all the ports of like Third Strike and like MVC2, MVC1. Like, it's not like they don't have any kind of like experience with this kind of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. That's what blows my mind.
The only thing that I can think of is that there's some weird thing with the cross-play, because you can do, you know, Vita versus, you know, PS3.
PS3.
So that's the only thing that I can think of is that they really wanted that cross-play functionality, and maybe there's a huge hurdle to overcoming that. But
yeah.
Other than that, maybe
we're making a big deal, because, I mean, this is an indie game that was started off as an inside joke that actually came into fruition, mm-hmm. and it's actually here now. And that's kind of cool.
But that seems like such a baseline thing that they would have in, you know. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge slate against the game.
When did Street Fighter 4 come
out? Yeah, I mean, this online lobbies are a standard nowadays. Yeah. Like a fucking standard. You don't fucking.
Hasn't been a game that hasn't had one since Vanilla.
Yeah.
And that's like 4 or 5 years.
I'm so mad. I'm so salty.
Yeah. And it's funny because we didn't even know that until we literally started playing that night. Mm-hmm. We were like, okay, well, Ace is going to join up. So when he joins, we'll figure something out. And they were like, wait a second.
You know, I had gone through the online menus and I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Private match, private lobby. Perfect. We're good. All right. I can't wait. And then we get in there and mm-hmm. it's like, all right, how do I invite?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see an invite.
Okay. Right. Tell Ace to search for our game. He'll be able to find it.
Shit.
Can't see anything. What do you mean you can't see anything? You're not showing up in private. Okay, right. You guys try to join. All right. You guys join each other. Okay, I'm going to look. I was just connected to Jason. I should probably see him. Oh, wait. There's no lobby.
So mad. You guys.
You're having a very rough week when it comes to games, Jason.
I'm feeling better though. I mean, cause I'm venting. I've been keeping this.
That's what the show is all about, right?
I'm actually happy you're saying these things now, Jason. Cause after that night, I was like, oh no, you seem pretty like high on it. And you were talking about the score you were going to give it. And I was like,
yeah,
crazy, son.
Well, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, planes, like, you can see, like, where it would be fun. And then we finally got to kind of, like, try and experience that, and then it didn't pay off. So I'm like, nope. And I didn't say that at the time. I was trying to get, like, you know, your feedback and Joe's feedback and shit like that. But, I mean, that night, I'm just like, yeah, we lost a couple points here.
Yeah.
Score-wise. Anyway, if you guys, you know, got it and you're enjoying it, more power to you. And if you like playing it online by yourself, hey man, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you're dumb. Kick. Yeah, dive kick.
Dive kick.
Saints Row 4. Yeah.
Oh.
Have you guys been playing this at all?
No.
Oh, you should. It's a lot of fun. You guys have played Saints Row the 3rd?
Mm-hmm. Didn't beat it, but I did play it, yes.
Jeff, you weren't super huge on
it. I'm not super high on open world games to begin with. That's probably why.
Okay. All right. This is probably not going to change anything by any means. Oh, wait.
What are you playing on PC, I hope?
Wait. Actually, yeah. I beat it on PS3 and now I bought it on PC and I'm doing a second playthrough.
Okay. How'd it run on PC? I heard the console versions don't run too well.
No, they don't. Yeah. And
yeah, I heard they're sub 30 for the most part.
Yeah, especially when you've, you know, you got your superpowers and you're running around the city, you know, and mm-hmm. all that draw distance and shit. Yeah, yeah. The frame rate definitely dips. You get used to it. You know, it's like, I understand why this is happening, whatever. It's a little bit better on PC. And I was super afraid that it was just going to like chug because of that. But no, it runs pretty well. I don't have like a beastly PC or anything. So, it's holding up pretty well. So I'm happy about that. But, so Jeff, you weren't too crazy about the whole open world thing, but you were a Crackdown fan, right?
I like Crackdown when I was playing co-op. I never really played it single player.
There we go. So it might interest you actually, because this feels more like a Crackdown game than it does a Saints game. With the superpowers and the, you know, traversing through the city with like super jumps. It's
infinitely more better than both those.
Oh, sure. I do too.
So is that like, cause I've seen the video. Cause the whole superpower thing really intrigues me for sure. I think that looks cool. But how does it introduce side missions? And how is it like, does it get to a point where you have a million things on the map you can do? Because that's what really turns me off open world games.
Oh, I'm like, I mean, they're not.
I want to do everything, but.
Yeah, they're not. The side missions are not super intrusive. You have to select them from a menu. It's not like there's, you know, all these, you know, yellow dots that you have to go check out or anything like that. There are, however, a bunch of blue sphere type things. And those are collectibles.
Okay.
And I mean, you collect those and then you can upgrade your superpowers and shit. Those are fucking everywhere. So that if you have OCD,
oh, man.
You're going to be doing
that's
that.
That's the thing with a crackdown. It's like, oh, orbs.
Fights yeah. yeah, those things are addictive as shit, man.
And it's, yeah, it definitely no change in this game. But as far as the side missions are concerned, like, they're kind of funny for the most part. Saints is notorious for, you know, being, you know, over the top. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, being like a parody style, you know, game. This is no different. However, I feel like they tried a little too hard to nail some of the choice moments from the last game. Like that whole Tron level. I mean, that was kind of the talk of the whole game. They redo that, but it's just not as fun.
Not the same.
It's like a racing segment and shit like that, and it's like,
I never beat the third, so I probably need to go back and play that one first.
Yeah, I definitely
free right
prefer
now
that one.
Was.
Yeah, it is.
If you don't already own it.
Yeah, that's super fun. And this is still fun too, just in a different way. Like you don't have that progression, you know, in like the Grand Theft Auto style gameplay where you start off as just like a lowly nobody. And I mean, that's what Saints does as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of build up your character, build up your homies, your powers and shit like that. Saints Row 4 is just like a leaping off
badass
from the last game, you know? It's like, it feels like you still have all of your badassery from the last game, the end game.
So they don't nerf you before you get into it.
I mean, no. I mean, it kind of, with your guns and stuff, your guns aren't like powered up or anything like that, but they give you the superpowers really, really early on. And that changes everything for me anyway. Like I didn't find myself using guns nearly as much. I certainly wasn't using vehicles. That's for sure. And that's kind of sad because there's so many cool vehicles in there. But it's so much easier to just run around and use the superpowers. The other thing is, so they give you all these cool superpowers and shit, so you kind of forget about your guns, but then a lot of the story missions, they find some way of stripping you of these powers, because you're actually inside of like a Matrix simulation, and that's how you're able to do this stuff in the first place, is, you know, alter the code and whatnot. But when you go into the real world or other simulations, you don't have those powers. So you're just kind of a stripped down Saints again. And all of a sudden it's not as fun. And they invariably do that for almost every single story mission. And that's kind of frustrating. That weird change of pace from being this badass down to, all right, I'm kind of running around. Oh, I can kind of hop and jump. My guns, you know, I wish I had my freeze blast right now, but. So it's a weird pacing, like the story, there's no fucking cohesion whatsoever. There was in the last game, but this one feels like it's like a parody movie, like those, Meet the Spartans. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they try and just lampoon and parody like every fucking single, like pop culture movie.
Yes.
Just incessantly. And they do that in this game. Like lots of internet memes, lots of games that they're lampooning, like Metal Gear Solid, Mass Effect, shit like that. So it just, I don't know, it seems a little, Force. And I'm being down on the game a little bit, but it's only because I think Saints the Third sets such a high bar.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, all right, my bitching's over, I think.
That was a lot of bitching.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel better, though.
It seems like you enjoy it to a certain extent. It's just kind of...
Yeah, it's like...
Well, I mean, you played it once already, and you're playing it again, so obviously you like the game.
Exactly, yeah. I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, but it's not super substantial, and it didn't, like, blow me away like the last game.
Yeah, it's not a huge jump or anything.
Still having a great time.
Cool.
But I think that's about it. I played Gun Home. Should we talk about that? I don't know if we should, because we talked about it on that segment last week.
Yeah, there was that segment last week that got pasted at the end.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'd rather not talk about it just because I haven't played it yet, and that's why I haven't listened to the end of the show of last week.
Okay.
Because I really want to go through it with, like, basically nothing.
What? Yeah. Well, what is that game about?
Nothing.
We can talk about that. I mean,
just real quick, because I haven't listened to last week's show yet, and I didn't listen to the clip that we put at the end yet. Okay. So
I can, super sum it up. I mean, first and foremost, it's not necessarily a game. You know, you're not going to find any puzzles or anything like that.
It's an experience?
It's not as pretentious as that. It's definitely just like an interactive story. So you play as this girl who's, she's a young girl. She's been traveling abroad for like the past year, and her family, her mom and dad and younger sister, had just moved to this house, right? And, you kind of come home early. You get to the airport and you take a cab to the place, and then, you show up at the house, but nobody's there, right? So and all you see is this note, from your sister, Sam, that says, I'm gone, don't come looking for me. We'll see each other again someday. So you have to go into this, spooky house. All the lights are flickering, lightning and thunder and shit. And you've got to try and piece together what happened. Like, where the hell is your family? Where's your sister? Where's your parents? And, you uncover clues just by kind of rifling through the house. It's not like they don't hold your hand too much. You can just like open up all these drawers and shit and, find a stupid duck. It's like, okay, there's Christmas duck. Find this Mexican skull. It doesn't mean anything at that time, but later on you'll find like another note that kind of references it. So it's like a bunch of little puzzle pieces, that just ultimately make this neat story, I guess. And it goes about telling the storyline of like the sister, the mom and dad, and a little bit about like the history of the house, as well as your own character. So it's definitely advisable to go through the entire game and just unearth as much as you can to piece all of the stuff together. Otherwise, if you just try and go from, A to B, it's not nearly as enjoyable. So in a way, it's kind of like an experience, but yeah, it's
Tanya wants to play it too.
She should. She totally should. It's a real quick burn, man.
How long roughly is it?
Two hours.
That's good. I can handle that at a piece.
Lisa played it 3.5, maybe 4 hours.
Okay.
But she's totally OCD, and she was looking for absolutely.
I was going to say she's probably really meticulous and going through like everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's the way I would be too, probably going through it.
But yeah, it's pretty good, and I recommend it. Not at $20.
Now, is there a point? Maybe I shouldn't even ask this question if it's bordering spoiler territory. Yeah, well,
I think that's enough.
You can just say no comment or just like whatever. I was just gonna ask: is there an actual point where you know you finished the game? Or okay.
Yeah, and that's not spoilering. I mean,
I wasn't too
there's,
sure.
There's definitely a point in which credits roll. How about that?
Okay. Okay, that's what I want to know.
Okay. All
right.
Cool.
I think Jeff. That's all I got.
I played some Charlie Murder, was impressed with that. If you like the other Scott Studios games, you'll like this. It's the same kind of gameplay, just on a 2D, 3D brawler thing with really cool music. And, I like the characters. The characters are pretty badass. And I love the fact that one of the superpowers, I picked the chick in the trial, and that she like does like a screamo type scream, and that's fucking awesome. I thought it was pretty badass. I might pull the trigger on that, because I have these points I've saved up, well not saved up, just had them forever, and I'm like, oh, Summer Arcade's coming up, and I have yet to pull the trigger. Right now, the only games I'd probably consider is this and Brothers. So, do this first if you want to play some
Did you get a chance
action.
To change any of your inventory?
Oh yeah, you totally change inventory
isn't
too.
That,
like it actually shows
cool?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put on a hat and I'm like, I'm not bald anymore. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
you actually have that hat.
I can put on gloves or wristbands. It's like, it changes Yeah, the artwork.
Yeah, I know it's like we said this about like Dragon's Crown. Dragon's Crown's totally on a different level in terms of detail and like high res, like 2D art. But as I'm hoping like next gen, if people put in the effort, something like Dragon's Crown that did that is like a loot grab would be so fucking good.
Yep.
Because this game is a much simpler art style. It'd be way easier to draw out assets. But yeah, the fact that I saw the loot I was putting on me, I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Play some cool. Flashback and I'm in that. I played the Rayman Legends demo. On 360. That game's fun. It's Rayman. Again. But, at first I was kind of on the fence because they added in some like 3D, assets, like some of the enemies and characters, like they're polygonal. The main ones. And I was like, oh man, what I love the first one is all like hand drawn art.
Yeah, they stand out.
But it fits
a little
really
right?
well. Okay. Yeah, they stand out a little tiny bit, especially like in like the introduction to the game and stuff like that. It's the only time I really noticed it. So it wasn't that bad. I also played the Wii U demo at like a kiosk like months ago, and the changes they made where you'd normally hit on the Wii U controller to like lower levers and platforms and stuff, now you basically have this little companion thing that goes out and you just basically hit a button for them to control it. So it's kind of just the way they dealt with it, you're just basically hitting a button to do it. And I can see why they weren't going to just redo the levels because there's no touchscreen. But it still works. So it's nothing nothing that big. But
I think I'm going to wait for the Vita version of that game. I really feel like that's going to be the way to play it.
I was going to, but then it looks so fucking awesome. And like 1080p on a big screen TV. I was like, oh. Because I was totally planning on getting on Vita because I don't play enough on the Vita. But it looks so fucking gorgeous. I'm like, man, what am I going to do?
I love the Vita and all. I mean, gorgeous visuals and shit. I don't particularly care for the D-pad or the buttons. They're like too close together for me.
Oh,
especially,
really?
Yeah, the analog sticks are sensitive.
So the analog sticks are one thing, but like the D-pad and the buttons, I love the feel of them.
Oh, okay.
They're so clicky I feel like they're more tactile than like the PS3 controller. I actually like the D-pad on the Vita better than the PS3 controller. Yeah. Because I play Dragon's Crown with the D-pad and also I like it better. Yeah. I like it better on the Vita.
Hmm.
That's cool.
I know I'm probably in the minority there, but I do like I don't know why. I just think that it feels like there's more resistance there, and I think that's part of it. I like it better.
I like the segmentation of the PS3 controller, the D-pad.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
I don't know. For me, I've got those big crazy Frankenstein hands, and everything just seems way too smushed together for me.
Yeah,
I could see that. I could see that.
That's just personal preference, I guess. They're not bad, and it's certainly a huge step up from the old
PSP.
Right.
And let's be honest, it's fucking Rayman, so it's gonna drop to like $30 after about 2 months. I mean, the first one was sooner than that. Now that's not a knock on the game. The game's fucking awesome,
don't buy these games. That's
exactly.
The problem.
It's like yeah. So right. I think
even though they
I'll probably
should.
End up double dipping.
Even though they should, they don't buy these games.
It's so good. It's one of the best platformers, like, or Origins, anyway. Like, so I'm definitely going to pick it up. I don't know what. I'm hoping they release a demo on the Vita before it comes out. So I can at least play them both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then I'll go from there. But it's really good. If you liked Origins, you'll freaking love this. It looks so good. We talked about Dive Kick already. I didn't get into, actually, PlankFan threw up a code on Twitter yesterday for Killzone Mercenaries on Vita, speaking of Vita. So I was like, I'm going to give that a shot. And holy shit, am I impressed by that game.
I'm like, hearing that's really good.
It looks fucking awesome. It looks better than like first-gen 360 PS3 games. And this is on like a Vita, which I guess isn't really saying much when you think about it, but it is...
Well, I'll say this. It's not saying much for first-gen 360 games, because most of the first-gen 360 games were just
Xbox
port ups,
like whatever.
But the first-gen PS3 games were port overs from the 360. So that's a distinction there a little bit, but.
And it looks better than Resistance 1.
I agree.
So it's,
from the videos I've seen, I think I agree with that from the videos I've seen.
Yeah, and it is definitely the new flagship, like, show your buddies what a Vita can do game. 100%. This is even in the multiplayer, and usually multiplayer is scaled back from the single player stuff.
So Lost of Us. Last of Us.
Yeah, oh
Last
my God. Yeah, that's a huge jump, but that's something different. it's a beta, it's the online version, it's the online mode only. So it's 4v4 on one, right now there's one map. I think they might be releasing a second map eventually. And, basically it goes through the traditional kill zone type game where it's basically enter a match and then you play five different game types in one match. So, like, the first one might be like, okay, you're doing body count, which is just get as many kills as you want. Next one's going to be like valor mode, which is you kill somebody, but you have to get, every time you kill someone, they drop a card. You got to pick up that card to get a point for your team. If you don't pick up the card, you don't get the point. And vice versa. And if they kill, like, your teammate get kills, if your teammate gets killed, they drop a card. And if you grab that card before the enemy does, they don't get a point. Then it'll be like, the next game type will be, you gotta hack these terminals. And, you know, first team to do it. And, that's both good and bad. It's good because I like that it changes up the gameplay, while you're playing the game. The bad is, it doesn't make it really good for on the go. Well, then again, I don't know how many people have the 3G version or if you're gonna be actually on the go playing this anyway, multiplayer, because you kinda need Wi-Fi. The match is, you're in it for the long haul. Like, it could be like 20 minutes minimum to play through a match of Killzone. That goes from like the console versions too, not just Mercenaries. Control was my biggest issue I thought I was going to have going into it. It took a while to get used to the sticks, but that's just because the Vita sticks, like Jay said, are very, very kind of sensitive.
Yeah, there's not as much of a throw, so it's a little bit more.
A lot more sensitive. Do they compensate for that with
They
maybe
do.
Some
they
lock
compensate
on?
It by two. Yeah, there's a little or bit of lock on, especially when you go down the sights.
Okay.
There's definitely a little bit of lock on, like you kind of lock on the character. And then when you lock on the sights, you can move the Vita to do like the precise aiming.
Gotcha.
So you can do the whole thing. And that kind of works. But the thing is, the game, Killzone moves at a really weird pace. It's like slower than Halo, but without the crazy jumping. So it can work on the Vita. It's not super twitchy like a Call of Duty, but it's somewhere kind of like in between Halo and Call of Duty, but it's still on the ground. It's slower than Halo. So it works on the Vita and 4 and 4 and I guess in consoles too, just because it's very, it's not hard to lose a target once you have them in your sights. So it makes it so it's a little bit forgiving killing people because of the auto aim, and because of the little motions you can do from moving the Vita around. And it is kind of generous with headshots. Which isn't, I don't think that's a bad thing, especially like on something like the Vita where the sticks just aren't console quality. And it just felt good. It took me a good match and a half to get used to the sticks to see like how much I had to move it, the aim stick one way or the other way to get to how much it actually moves on the screen, if that makes sense. Like the first match I was kind of like overcompensating and I'd go too far to the left, right, up or down. Then you kind of get used to it. Touchscreen controls, both good and bad. To run, for instance, you have to double tap the back touchpad and hold. So you hit it once, hit it again, hold it. That makes your character run. That actually feels good, but the problem is if you don't do it right, you just won't run. So that's kind of a thing you guys gotta get used to, or the timing of your double presses right. When you do assassinations, you hit the melee button, then it'll be like, swipe the screen up. Like, you know, that typical, like an Uncharted, swipe it up, swipe it across for like, melee type stuff. That's that kind of thing still in there, which is not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
The other touchscreen, touch the weapon to change your weapons. You can also use the D-pad, so that's good. You don't have to just use a touchscreen. Something else that I found kind of weird. Oh, when you're getting assassinated, sometimes you'll get a thing pop up on the screen where you can counter the assassination. So it'll basically flash on the screen really quick the touchscreen to swipe up or whatever. And my problem with that isn't with the game, it's just, again, it's the Vita and the touchscreen stuff itself. Basically, when that happens, you have to be ready to basically take your thumb off the right stick, or your finger, or your hand entirely, and then use the touchscreen. So it makes it extremely hard to counter that, and also, it didn't happen every time. At first I thought you had to have something specific, maybe, to reverse assassinations, but it turns out it's just kind of a glitch in the game, where sometimes it'll come up with the counter, sometimes it won't.
Oh, weird.
From what I've read, anyway, so. Again, it's a beta, so the game's out pretty soon. Actually, it's out, but I am actually very, very, very impressed by it. It's by far light years the best first-person shooter I've ever played on a portable console, and it feels like Killzone. It feels like it doesn't feel like a different version of Killzone. It just feels like you're playing Killzone on the Vita, just scaled down by numbers. And I actually really like, because some people complain it's only 4 and 4. I actually like that. It's not too hectic. You don't feel like you're dying every like 10 seconds if you're not too accustomed to first person shooters. So it's not like you're going to go in there and just get slaughtered. And because of the way the game isn't super fast moving, you're going to be able to get some kills, whether you play a lot of first person shooters or not. And it doesn't mean you're going to get like the highest in your team, because the game really is points-based, not kill-based, which why have the different game types. But and the game does not tell you, it doesn't give you a good job of telling you what to do in these game types. I'm sure if you play Killzone all the time on PS3, you probably just use them. Like, there's one mode where it's called interrogation, and we thought that instead of shooting the opponents, you had to melee them, and that's how you got the points for your team. Well, it turns out
that makes sense.
You actually have to drop them. Sorry?
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what we thought. And then we were like, okay, well, that's not it because we're not getting points. But it turns out you have to actually shoot them so they go down, but you don't kill them. And then you go up to them and hit a button to, quote-unquote, interrogate them, then you end up killing them. So that's how you get them. It doesn't do a good job of explaining that, but it's a beta, so it's kind of, you know, figured out. And it can be frustrating to get into a match and people are just like, hey, it's interrogation match, and everyone's just shooting everyone. You're like, no, we have to oh god. This is gonna take forever. You just have to wait for the timer to go down because no one's winning this. But it's awesome. You guys, it's free with Plus right now.
Oh, cool.
Definitely have 100% download, give it a shot. Cause if anything, if you don't like the gameplay, it's gonna be a good showpiece for the Vita and be like, this will show you that if people put the work into it, they can have really good AAA type shit on this console and it holds up. Like, take Resistance, that game that they put on there in Call of Duty, and throw it out the fucking window. Because those games, everyone thought, oh, you still can't do first-person shooters, but this is really, really good. And I'm not a huge Killzone fan. I had a blast. Like, I can't wait to play it again, most likely tomorrow, because we'll probably play fighting games tonight. But mm-hmm. Played for a good 2 hours last night, or an hour and a half. And I had a blast. And, because it's Vita, party chat, so awesome.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, so me and Glenn played. Me and Kill9 played for a bit.
Nice.
But, yeah. What else? Oh! Sunday, I was kind of bored, and I picked up Disney Skylanders.
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. I was.
Man, that's even more of a money sink than the, than the
is.
Other one.
Oh, man.
Because the characters are more expensive.
They're $12 each.
Yeah, $12 each. And then it's like $30 for a two-pack or $25 for a two-pack.
The three-pack is $30, and the play sets that come with two characters and the actual levels, I think, is $20. Or they might be 30 as well. I don't
probably
know.
Probably are 30 as well.
That. Yeah, that game is, I love Disney and Skylanders always intrigued me. And I was like, well, fuck it. Let's do it. And, it's decent. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
I was not even close to terrible. It's actually pretty fun if you like Disney, especially.
It's super charming as well.
It's very charming. And the first 50 minutes of that game, the intro is just so well done. Uh-huh. And then just throws you into this toy box and goes, basically, go.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck do I do? I'm putting shit on this portal, going to play worlds. It's actually, I'm surprised it's, you know, marketed towards kids because it's pretty deep, like, the amount of shit you can do in this game. Like, build shit. Do I want to go play in the play, like, the Pirates play set? But if I go to the Pirates play set, I can only use the Pirates characters. If I want to play co-op, I have to buy the second Pirates character because you can't have the same character in the same play set. But you can have this, you can have any characters you want in the toy box. And yeah, it kind of doesn't, well, it makes sense, but doesn't do a good job of explaining that.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids are just,
and like even though the Pirates shit, like, level is kind of lengthy, man, you're looking at what, how much money to get both of those characters if you want to play?
That's ridiculous at that point.
Yeah. I bought the starter set that comes with Sully from Monster University, what's his face from Pirates of the Caribbean, the main Jack.
Mm-hmm. Sparrow.
And then the Mr. Incredible from the Incredibles. And that starter pet comes with the Incredibles playset, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Monsters, Inc., or Monsters University. And then I bought the extra companion set that comes with, it's basically the co-op characters for those sets. So, Mrs. Incredible, Barbosa, and, Mike,
mm-hmm.
Sullivan, or Mike, not Sullivan, Mike whatever from Monsters.
Mike Wazowski!
Yeah, I getcha.
Mike Wazowski, thank you. But yeah, it's fun, it's very well done, it looks nice, the sound's good.
Everybody has
like Disney.
Like everybody's stylized, you know, and it's all kind of consistent, which is really nice.
Yeah, they look like you're playing the toys. Like, it isn't like you don't put Sully in there on your little portal thing, Disney Infinity Portal. He doesn't go in there all furry all of a sudden, looks like he is from the movies. No, he looks like he's an animated version of your little character that you have, which is really cool. But the game, I'm doing the Monsters University one right now, and I am getting, they're only like 4.5 to 5 hours each playset. And I am getting kind of bored with
is
the
it repetitive?
Because it's very repetitive.
Yeah, there's lots of like fetch quests in that one. I mean,
Skylanders is that way too.
Well, with the monsters you in particular, because they're all kind of like geared around a certain age. Like that one's like a younger one, so they tried to keep as much violence out of it as possible.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas in the Pirates one, little older age group, there's combat and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I played the Pirates one, and I was actually very impressed with I only played the first 15 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is actually a very well done game. I would say it's on the same level as like a Lego game. Like I was like, it's very simple, but the combat's fun, and there's like kind of like little puzzles and like, and they actually have like ship combat, which I haven't got to yet. That, you know, it looks like it would be like a Lego version of like the ship combat in like Assassin's Creed 3. It's like you gotta circle around, shoot off your cannons, and the animation's really well done. Like it looks like they did put in like a lot of effort into making these games, but the cash grab is totally there. Like, you don't open up, when you're doing the toy box, which toy box is basically like a little big planet, you can make your own games, make your own whatever. The problem is, you have to open up the items you can use in that by playing through the play sets and collecting them. And I think that's kind of dumb. Because, like, if for someone like us guys who like don't have a lot of time, but maybe we just want to be creative, we can't just go in there and make whatever we want. We actually have to put the time in to play this stuff and open up everything, find everything. Mm-hmm. And then we can open up those items to do in the toy box and put it together. Hey guys, come check out my fucking Mario Kart level I made. Cause there's shit like that in there, and it is very cool. I guess that's what separates it from Skylanders, I guess, is that whole toy box, like, create your own worlds and games type thing.
Yeah.
And every time I try to link to the Infinity, servers to get like the shared stuff, community made stuff, it keeps saying it's down. So I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong or if it's just not up yet. Maybe they're waiting a few weeks and be like, alright, here you go.
I'm not sure.
But it's actually surprisingly fun. And it's, I hope someone who's listening played it or is playing it, because I haven't been able to figure out how to do co-op on the playsets online yet. The toy box stuff, of course, you can have up to like four or five people in there. I know me and Toddy can play co-op, like couch
local,
co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course you have to buy the extra pair. Lucky I already have, got those with it, but yeah, if you guys, anyone out there like listening knows, please let me know, because the people I know who have this game, we haven't been able to figure it out, and that'd be really cool if you can play that stuff online. So, right now I just sit at, I'm just going to enjoy it when I want to enjoy it. If I'm just like, you know, relaxing, I want to play something simple and charming, throw it in there. I'm not going to do any of the building shit because I am not creative, and I'm just going to buy the sets that I'm actually interested in. I really hope, really, really hope they go back to some older stuff soon, because right now it's just, you know, it's The Incredibles, Pirates of the Caribbean, Cars, Lone Ranger.
Yeah. I think next is Toy Story, actually.
Toy Story. Yeah, Toy Story would make sense. And I know there's Wreck-It Ralph coming too. Mm-hmm. But because there's a thing called World of Heroes, you go through there, and you can see, when you level up a guy past like level one, you'll get like a bronze statue. When you get another level, it'll turn to silver and gold. And you can go to like every single character on the circle. And I went through every single one of them, and every single character is like, it's a relatively new Disney movie, like Tangled or, so I'm hoping they get like Aladdin, Lion King, that kind of shit would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense that those would be kind of down the road. They want to, you know, capitalize on their stuff, but.
I think they already announced a Star Wars playset, so that's like, really? You just got that license. Mm-hmm. Come on. But, anyway, enough talking about man games. Chris, what have you been playing?
I don't really have anything to add. I mean, I tried to play PSO2, but we were pointed at some new, patches, some new English patches, from, Nogs, Greg Little. And, I spent literally 2 days installing all that stuff. So.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had to patch the game, which you patch the game, it downloads like 16,000 files, it seems. And, you know, it's a ridiculous amount of time for that to happen. And then I booted up the little utility that they use for the English patches. And it's like, there's an update, and it downloaded another 6,000 files. It's like, well, fuck, maybe I'll get to play this one day. So I haven't actually played it again since then, you know, I think I'm going to go in there, and now that I have an idea of how everything works, I might go in there and make a new character. Now that if the English patch works the way I'm hoping it does, I might go in there and make a new character and start fresh. Mm-hmm. Cause my character is only like level six or something like that. So it's not like I'll lose much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I play more Dragon's Crown, got, So I beat the game, started the game on hard, and John and I started going through the labyrinth. And there's like a new level you can go into, and you go through a labyrinth, and you go through, basically you go through random stages, it seems, and you fight three random bosses, and after you fight three random bosses, that's considered the first floor of the labyrinth. Well, we go through three bosses, and it says, you know, and after each boss, you get the option to continue. So go through the first three bosses, and it says, okay, so you've completed the floor. So we continue, and we go through the next two stages, go to the third stage, get almost to the boss on the third stage, and I get disconnected. And fuck. I lose all of my experience points, and I was pretty much furious. That was the last time I played the game.
And all your drops and shit then. Too, right?
It looks like I might have kept my drops.
Okay, good.
I have to go back. I was so frustrated with the fact that I lost all the experience because I would have easily gone up a level with the amount of experience we got.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, because there's so much grinding in that game, you know. Like,
yeah, and you would think that it's like if you are in the middle of a stage and you say quit adventure, when you quit the adventure, you get the experience for what you played. You would think they would fucking do that.
Yeah, just
for whether or not you got disconnected. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard, right? Just fucking do it. And, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't do it. So I have no fucking idea, but.
Give it to you between stages. Why not? You know?
Yeah, it would make sense. I mean, you still can't, you know, cash in your skill points until you go back anyway. I mean, there's no reason not to. It's just frustrating, especially considering that the online in that game, the game is so good and the online sucks so bad. It's just,
yeah,
infuriating. It really is. It literally turns a possible game of the year candidate into maybe not so much, you know? So that was frustrating. And besides that, I played a lot more of the, Might Magic, Clash of Heroes. Finished the second continent, got onto the third, and now I'm dealing with blue and purple. And that's a problem. So, I'm trying to go through that. It's much more difficult now. And then more DuckTales. I don't care what the haters say. The DuckTales is fucking awesome.
Everybody
play it. It's, you know, there's a lot of complaints out there about the controls. The controls are, you know, as far as like the Pogo, they're exactly the same as they were in the Nintendo game. There's no difference.
And you can actually make it easier by not having to hold down in order to pogo. There's an option in there where you can just be like, hold down the button and you pogo instead of...
I mean, that's what I'm using. You just hold down, you hold down, like, jump. You know, it's like, I think it's jump. You can jump and then you hit jump again and he pogos.
No, it's actually a different button.
Is it a different button? Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember how my fingers work when I'm playing it, but you know, a lot of the big problem is that if you hold that button down and you fall off a ledge or something, that he doesn't automatically pogo. No, you have to push the button again. God forbid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just frustrating because people are, you know, there's people out there giving this game bad reviews for control itch because they suck at it. That's pretty much what I've wrapped it up to be.
Yeah.
Cause I've had no problems playing this game. It's actually easier than the Nintendo version was because, the controls are like, controlling Scrooge while jumping and stuff like that, like where his position is better than it was on the NES. It's, you have more control over where he is and you don't have to land like directly in the middle of a freaking block to stay on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I haven't finished it yet. I've gone through, I think the only stage I have left is the moon stage. And then after that, I've got I think there's a final stage after that, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. But so that's how far I'm at. But I love it. I think it's great. And I think if you are a fan of the original, or if you're a fan of semi-difficult platform games, I think this is a good game for you to pick up. So, but yeah, that's it for me.
Cool, man.
All right, then.
Yep. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Gamescom a little bit, and then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
All right, so GameComs happened this week, and quite a few things happened. So we're going to go over a little bit what's been talked about so far. I think it's still going on, I'm pretty sure, but you know, most of the news is out. So let's talk a little bit about that. Jeff, why don't you start us out? I know you've got some news hanging out over there.
Okay, I guess it kind of opened with not necessarily a conference, per se, but Microsoft did like a little, I guess, media briefing thing on Monday. Or I can't remember what day it was, Monday or Tuesday. Did not announce a release date for Xbox One, which is kind of surprising. And then when they didn't do it, I thought they were going to be, okay, they're going to do reactionary. They're going to wait for Sony to do it, and then the next couple days later, they're going to be like, okay, we're going to come out this day. But they have not done that yet, so no release date yet.
Maybe they're learning. I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
Hold their cards a little. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I still think it's going to be November 5th, but with Call of Duty, we'll see. Because they did announce a Call of Duty bundle, for the X-Bone.
Oh yeah.
At launch, and also in Europe, everyone who pre-orders an X-Bone will get
FIFA Soccer
for free. Yeah.
That's pretty big.
That's like if they were to give away Call of Duty here.
Yeah. No doubt.
They'd be like, hey, you're getting Call of Duty for free. So that's pretty well. Whether it'll sway someone, because still. Like, on paper, you're like, hey, we're paying $4.99 for this plus FIFA, and I guess Kinect, but then you can still look at it like, well,
yeah, but you can still get
$3.99
for $4.60 and buy FIFA.
But the big mode that everyone plays there is now exclusive to the Xbox, which that was kind of my thing that I alluded to last week, and I was like, I think the unique exclusive is not going to be a game. I think it's going to be something to do with FIFA.
What's the mode? Is that something that they announced too?
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I kind of called that. It's the basically FIFA Dynasty mode.
We said it last week. This just in, Interactive Distractions predicts the fucking future. That's the way this works.
And the I can't remember what it's called. The All-Star mode, Dynasty mode, the club mode. I can't remember what it's called. I'm sure someone over there who loves the football is probably yelling right now. But whatever that mode is only going to be on.
See, I'm very interested to hear from some of our European listeners and to know, is this a big deal?
If this
deal?
Even makes a difference.
You know, is this a big deal to you? Is this mode really
like
a mode
changer
that you guys play often and that kind of thing? So.
Well, no, that's something that's like, they are very big into. It's like,
okay.
What I gather, it's basically like doing franchise mode in Madden.
Okay.
And that's what a lot of the hardcore Madden people do. So, I'm sure there's still some kind of, this is the thing. I'm getting like mixed things here. It's like either something like, it's like a manager. I don't know. I've never played, like, I can't say I never played FIFA. I've played FIFA, but I've only played like exhibition matches against like friends, like when like couch co-op or a couch play kind of thing. So I don't really know. I'm sure someone of our European listeners will let us know and fill us in on that. But they announced that, what else? Oh, Fable Legends was officially announced. That's been kind of rumored for a while. I will say it's the first Fable game I've been interested in since the announcement of 2, and only because the art style actually looks good. I wasn't a big fan of the art style for the Fable games, for 2 and 3 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an online 4-player co-op thing. It's kind of like you go into the instant dungeons or whatever, but the twist is the fifth player is playing the villain, and they're kind of like the, you know, in Left 4 Dead, how there's like that artificial AI, the AI director, they called it.
Right.
That's technically what the fifth person is. So you can play it actually on your Xbox. Like, it's kind of like a top down kind of like, strategy, what's it called? Like an RTS type view.
Okay.
You're basically placing enemies and doing whatever. Or you can also do it on a tablet if you're not even on your Xbox. So like you could, if you're just wherever on your tablet, you can still play and do this stuff. So it's basically the 4 people against the villain guy. Seems kind of ambitious, but then again, it's Fable game, so of course it's going to be ambitious. And of course, with every Fable game, it's probably not going to live up to the expectation. So
I don't know. Molyneux's gone, right?
He is
so
gone, so maybe they're kind of more tempered.
That might be a good thing there.
Yeah, but the trailer looked really, really good. It's one of the first games that they showed off that's running off the Unreal 4 engine.
Okay.
And it looks really nice.
Cool.
But I guarantee we're not going to see that till probably
late
year. 2014. Yeah.
Yeah.
Killer Instinct, as you know, I'm really hyped for that. That kind of got some interesting news.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there's only going to be 6 characters at launch, with the other 2 coming February, Marches of 2014. But they did announce the pricing model, so it's going to be you get Jago for free, and you can play online, do whatever, do the training mode or whatever, then pay for each character. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, pretty much full game, just with one character. That's
pay with
free.
One character, right. Exactly. And then you can pay for each additional character for $5. Or you can pay $20 for all 8 characters that are going to be in the first, well, I'll get to this in a second, but all 8 characters plus their alternate colors and all the modes. Or you can pay $40 for all 8 characters, alternate costumes, which include throwback costumes from like the original Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
And emulated copy of Killer Instinct 1.
Done.
Which they are, Ken Lobb said in an interview, they don't have online working yet, but they're really trying hard to get online. He said it's kind of tricky
awesome.
To do with emulator, but he said they're actually working on it. They want to get online working for Killer Instinct 1. And then this is going to be like season 1. They want to do a season 2 late next year where they introduce another 8 characters. And again, that would be like 20, same thing. They said like $20 to the entry fee, whatever, $40 to get like the extra whatever stuff. Story mode, not gonna be ready for launch. That's gonna be put in later, but you will get it with your whatever version you're getting, the $20 or $40 thing. Do you have any
I'm
worries
really
about
surprised
this,
by that, actually, yeah. So it is super interesting, you know, pricing structure. So I'm interested
I think
to
the
see
price
how
is
this
right.
Is. Oh yeah, the price is fine, actually. I mean, I think we would have paid, you know, $40 to $60 anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not surprising to me. I have no gripes with that. So, but I mean, they're right in that a lot of people only choose, you know, a couple different characters. So if that's a way to entice people to check out the game or, you know, if they're like, man, this is kind of a cost-effective way of getting into a fighting game, you know.
Why not?
Hey, yeah, why not?
And there's probably, the only plus that I can see, though, really, is with 6-8 characters, it'll probably be more balanced. It's not going to be like 30-something characters, like an MVC or something like that, where people are only choosing 8 anyway. But I have a feeling this is going to kill it for any kind of main tournament play, which I really don't care about. On ground level, like, I just care about, like, that we have a decent group to play with and that it's fun.
Yeah.
But I think it will kind of kill it for tournament stuff after a year. Because it is really a low number of fighters. But then again, the price thing, $20.
Tournament stuff is so, like, it's so nichey. Like, it's a small percentage of people, but I don't know. I'm a firm believer in that there's a trickle down and, like, a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's still interest in that game and the tournament scene, there's still videos being produced and shit,
yep.
And it's just more in the spotlight, and it's easier for people to get hype about it, and you know might get turned on to it. So
I hope so.
So I think the tournament scene is still important.
Yeah, but I think it's important to keep it like going for a lot of people. But I mean, there's some people like we know that if the tournament scene's not playing it, then they don't play it, and I think that's kind of a BS way to decide whether or not you like a fighting game. But
yeah.
It's like, as long as it's fun. I just do think, you know, 6-8 characters is a little bit low, but you can't argue with that price. If they release it for $60, then I'd be more inclined to be like, that's bullshit, especially with no story mode at the launch. But $20
is pretty good. I think the lack of story mode is something that I'm really concerned about. It's like, you know, that's something that you kind of nail down right away. And granted, it's kind of throwaway in a lot of fighting games, but...
I don't really play.
I'm just really surprised that they didn't have that in place.
Maybe
on the flip side, you know, they've just really been working on balancing and you know creating the you know
online
the engine and everything.
And, yeah.
Maybe they're focused on that. That's great.
I hope so.
I don't know.
And they did say if you're doing the a la carte version, like say you got Jago and you're like, I'm gonna buy another character and like I'll buy Saberwolf and you're like, you know what? I'm enjoying this. I'm going to buy the other 4 characters, the other 6 characters. There's a top-up you pay. So it's not like once you do the free-to-play one, it's not like you're all of a sudden locked into paying $5 a character, so you have to pay like $40 no matter what, as regular people have to pay $20. There's a top-up price. So if you pay already like $10 in or $15 in, they haven't announced what that top-up price is going to be, but it's going to be a discounted price. Then it's not like you're going to pay $5 for every extra character. So So that's actually not bad. So maybe it's like, okay, you know what? I'd normally have to pay $20, but because I bought two for $5 and I want to top up, it might be like $25. So you're paying extra for $5, but it's not going to be like the full $5 a character if you do the top up. So people, a lot of negativity about that. A lot of kind of people on the fence, whatever. Either way, I'm still going to get it. It's fucking,
yeah,
it looks fun as shit. What else they show? They showed Rise and nothing new with Rise, just Rise multiplayer. Oh, some exclusive content seemed to be like a thing for Gamescom. So what the hell's like the Division's going to have exclusive content on Xbox One. Call of Duty on Xbox One's going to be the only Call of Duty that runs on dedicated servers or Xbox One and PC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything. What else came out of Microsoft that was actually like newsworthy? That's like, cause they didn't really, oh, they did come out and say, that Kinect will always come with your Xbox. You're not going to be able to get them separately, but we haven't had an Xbox 180 in a while. Or at least this week, there is no Microsoft weekly 180.
Well, there kind of was a weekly 180, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they already said that the console was going to be region free, but now they said all the games are region free too.
I did not see that.
Earlier in the week. I was like, that kind of counts, but not really. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things.
There you go. I think that's pretty much it. Theirs is pretty low key. They kind of played it safe and just like, here are the launch games that are confirmed. Here is some extra stuff and some pricing models, except for our console. And here's Fable and FIFA stuff, which I'm sure people in Europe care about, but for here it was kind of like, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm kind of upset that they're giving away a free game in Europe, and then we get nothing. But then again, they get screwed over with everything else, so I really can't complain.
Yeah, they're going to have the higher price over there anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
And so you know,
yeah,
I'm not too concerned because I'm not buying one at launch. So
yeah, there you go. You'll be fine. Then Sony had theirs.
They had their conference.
They did have their conference November 15th. Hitting North America November 29th in the Europe's. Still no, that hasn't been announced for Japan yet, which I'm sure it will be at TGS.
Yeah, TGS, they'll go over that. I would assume that it's going to come out at the same time as the US.
You think so? Yeah.
Absolutely. I definitely think that's going to be the case. You know, I just because, you know, when was the last time, I'm trying to think, when was the last time Sony brought something out here before it came out in Japan? I don't think they ever have.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I have to imagine that it's going to be the same week, if not earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if it was earlier. But yeah, quite a few things. I didn't really catch a lot of the Sony piece, but I caught some of it. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that basically that if you get the PS3 version of a game and then buy a PS4 and get the PS, well, they'll give you a discounted rate on the PS4 version.
Yeah,
for
that's
the download
certain
version.
Titles.
Yeah, for certain titles. And then apparently you can cross your save over from PS3 to PS4. Like maybe I think you upload it to the cloud or something like that and then download it on PS4 and you have the ability to start where you left off, kind of like they do with the Vita.
Yeah, they're doing that at the combat GameStop because GameStop's doing that for all consoles. Like if you trade in your 360 or PS3 version of those games, you get the new game for $10. So the PS4 or Xbox.
Interesting.
So they're basically doing that to get, it's a smart move. Like, hey, if you want to, but I don't know how they're going to, I guess if you just have a saved game or something like that, you can download it for, they didn't say a price. They just said a highly discounted price.
Yeah, they just said that you're going to be able to save some money. They didn't really go into a whole lot of detail about it.
Is this anything like when they told us that we'd be able to get digital copies of our PSP games on our PSP Go?
I don't know.
Kingdom
Will
Hearts
it be the PlayStation 180 next week?
Maybe. Could be.
Who knows?
I guess we'll find out.
Yep.
But, you know, they've been doing pretty good about getting all digital on Vita, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. And actually,
I just don't know how they're going to tell, though, like, because they haven't announced yet whether or not the PSN on PS3 is going to talk to the PSN on PS4.
I think it's
always online component that they haven't really talked about yet.
Okay.
I'm just making shit up.
You're making shit up? I was like, what?
Canceling my pre-order. No, I'm just kidding.
Because the games one, obviously you trade in the game, you get the other one. This one, it's more like, it's got to go buy a save game. But then, what if you just brought the game over to someone's house and played it once and you have a save game? then you get the game for $15.
That's a good question.
They haven't really went into detail about that.
That DRM.
Maybe you have to download it and then ship it back or something like that. I have no idea. I'm making shit up.
See what happens.
A lot of indie stuff, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, a ton of indie stuff.
Like 90% indie stuff.
Yeah, they have made it blatantly obvious that PS4 is like, hey, indies, come to us.
Yeah.
You know, not only will we let you publish your own games, but we will fucking advertise the shit out of you. You know, I mean, Rogue Legacy, they talked about, N++, they talked about.
Ooh, yeah.
What else they talked about?
Anything that I haven't played on PC yet?
I was just going to say, anything that would entice someone to buy a PS4 that haven't already played something.
Rhyme, they talked about.
Rhyme looks awesome.
Helldivers, they talked about. That was a new one. And that's coming to PS3, 4, and Vita. God, what else did they talk about? There was a lot. Borderlands is coming to Vita.
That's pretty damn cool.
I'm going to fucking buy that again. But
Vita got a price drop, $199.
Yeah, yeah. So it got reduced to the price that everybody was selling it for anyway.
Right.
That
is how much I bought it for.
I mean, I know that like Best Buy and Target actually dropped the price of it like a week before Gamescom, or like maybe it was this past weekend they dropped it. Then they dropped the price of the memory cards, not nearly enough. It's like, hey, now the 32 gig memory card is $80 instead of $100. It's like, fuck you, Sony. God.
That would make it so much easier to buy, though, because if they want to push digital, make it easy for someone to purchase a Vita and a
When you consider that your margin is better on digital games, you know?
Oh, fuck,
I mean, fucking make it easier for people to get the digital games that they want. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, if it's an $80 memory card, I know you're making like 70 on it. You know, that's like pure profit out of that thing. So just, you know, drop it more. Drop it to 50. I'll buy it for 50. Good God.
I'd buy a 32 gig card, $50 tomorrow.
Yeah, I would too. I would probably go 60. That's probably as high as I would go.
It's a start. I do think if they actually want to do a legitimate push for Vita and PS4 cross play, but interactions, it has to be lower than $200 and that much money for a memory card come PS4 launch. But do you think they're going to drop the price again before the PS4 launch? I doubt it.
No, I don't think they will. I think $200 is where it's going to stay until next year sometime.
And they didn't announce that rumored Vita PS4 bundle pack that was rumored for like, what was it, $500? I thought that was too good to be true. $100 for a Vita.
Actually a rumor out there for that?
Yeah, but I mean, there's been a shitload of rumors all over the place for this.
Because I know I kind of quote unquote predicted that, but I didn't actually see any rumor about it.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, there were some rumors going on online. The one rumor that was true was the 12 gig flash memory PS3 is coming to North America for $200,
which is cool. I know someone who's going to dive into a PS3 now that it's at $200. So
what's the story on those? Can you add like an external hard drive or own?
Yes, you can.
It's a PS3. It's a super slim with no hard drive installed.
Beauty.
Apparently something like that.
Go pick up.
It's a good
super cheap hard drive. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure that it has at least 16 megs of cache.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. What else did they say? The big thing was the release date, I think, November 15th. I hoped. I was hoping it was going to be, I thought it was going to be late October with Battlefield.
Yeah, same here.
I thought that would have been a very smart move, to do that, because they would not only get a heads up, you know, get a head start on from Microsoft, but then they, you know, they're coming out at the same time as Battlefield, and they, you know, there was actually an Amazon bundle with Battlefield, you know, and they all sold out, so.
I'm not ready. I don't have the monies yet.
I don't either.
You got a few months.
Yeah, I'm storing all that shit up.
I've been saving up since like February, so I should be good. Especially that Killer Instinct thing actually saved me. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That guarantees I can buy a fucking Play and Chart kit. Awesome. Wait.
And a new arcade stick?
I am also budgeting for that too.
Yeah.
So. I'm good. No, I'm good. I've been
feeling okay. I trust you. Yeah. It's just that shit stings.
It does. It really does. I really wish they would be like, you know what? Your shit's going
to
work.
A lot of money for one game, but man, it would be cool to have a bundle. You know, like they could make like a super cheap, like you remember the SE sticks from Mad Catz? Kind of cheap ones and shit?
Yep.
Make one of those. Make it like affordable. Bundle the game and like the season pass type thing. Yep. Yeah. And then, yeah, I would pick that up and then I would mod it. You know, I would put in whatever buttons I wanted. That would be cool.
Bundle the $40 Killer Instinct for $20. There you go. Just add that on there.
Sure.
That'd be awesome. I think there's going to be a Killer Instinct stick, so maybe they'll do something like that. But I have a feeling it's going to be $200.
Those things look ugly, man. I don't like them.
I don't like the standard ones.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I like how the buttons light up. They're awesome. But they look ugly.
It's a lot of money for a game.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but it's an arcade stick. You know how it is.
Yeah.
What else? I can't think of that other freaking game that they announced that actually looked really cool. Why is this bugging? There's Rhine, which is like Eco and Journey, made by the Tequila guys.
Tequila work?
There, the House Marquee game. What was it?
The House Marquee game?
Yes.
What? The Biz Marquee?
Biz Marquee.
You got what I need. Big Fest?
Oh, quick, Chris. Is that what you're talking about? Skills.
I'm working on it. Resogun?
That Resogun? Might be it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's apparently a PlayStation exclusive.
Well,
it's made by the guys that did Super Stardust.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Minecraft was announced for PS4.
Nah. Snore.
Their other game, Cobalt, I think it's called, was announced on their stage. That's coming out for pretty much everything though. There really wasn't much. Like, it was really kind of like, just more details. I think that it was more of like a hands-on thing. They had a lot more playable games there from everybody.
I'm just glad that they stayed away from the AAA, like all the shit that we really knew. I mean, granted, we saw like Assassin's Creed Black Flag and shit like that, but for the most part. I liked the tone that they set, man. Like, announcing all these indie titles. Granted, we played a shitload of these on the PC already, but I mean, that market's still segregated. There's still console versus PC and shit. And all of these,
absolutely.
Man, I love that. You know, with a lot of them are going to be, you know, cross-platform. Yeah, you play them on the PS3, play them on your Vita, play them on your PS4, and then...
And a lot of them are going to Xbox. Just like the ones that it's just going to be... The Vita's... Sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about remote play, too.
Like, oh, that, yeah,
that
they showed
that off.
That was
a pretty big thing. You know, they showed that off, you know, working, and like a majority of the titles are going to be...
With Assassin's Creed 4 on stage, they showed it off, I believe.
That's pretty fucking cool, man. Yeah. I like that whole second screen thing.
I'm still wondering, and I don't know if they've even talked about this a whole lot. Does remote play require a wireless network?
Definitely. Oh yeah, that shit's got to run off of Wi-Fi. Absolutely.
Well, no. What I was gonna say is it a situation where the like ad hoc party where it's connecting directly to the PS3?
It's
because that would be preferable.
Wi-Fi. Preferable.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think it would be nearly as fast.
You don't think it would be as fast if it was connecting directly to the PS4
depending
via Wi-Fi?
Depending. It's all bits and bytes.
If it's,
Chris.
It's all packets.
It's all packets. So who knows? But
no, but I mean, it just seems like the communication between the PS4 and the Vita would be faster without having to deal with the wireless network.
I don't know. So, maybe they got some crazy Gaikai black magic shit going on.
Yeah. I'm sure they do.
But everything I've heard, they've mentioned Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. Everything fucking changes week to week. We'll see.
We're not going to know exactly what this shit does until we actually have it in our hands. Be like, oh, here we go. Now let's keep adding shit.
And hopefully not taking it away like last gen. I'm still fucking pissed about backwards compatibility, man.
Really?
It's a sore spot. Sore spot. Anyway.
Yep.
We've talked about that.
That play thing. Why can't I? I've already got this. The play thing.
I know
that did look
kind of
cool.
Playroom.
It looked a lot better than Home.
Playroom?
Yeah.
Well, so the thing about Playroom is I think Playroom requires the camera.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Oh, okay. So
it's like Playroom's going to come pre-installed in all PS4s, but PS4s don't come with cameras.
It was going to originally, but then they pulled it out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like for, you know, with what they did, it's like you kind of could have done the camera too for $450 and you still would have come in under. But, you know, I think the idea of being $100 less is probably much more tantalizing than, hey, we're $50 less and we come with a camera too.
God, I wish we could use our own webcams. That would be so cool.
Or maybe the PS3i that people bought, you know?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I still haven't opened up my eye of judgment.
Eye of judgment, right.
It's still sealed if anybody wants to buy it.
Oh, wow.
Those things bring in a lot of money on eBay now. I don't know if they do or not. I'm just joking. I have no idea.
I think that's it for Sony.
Well, they also said it's going to come with a 14-day free trial. And did we talk about
PS Plus? Yeah.
Did we talk about the fact that they announced Twitch?
Oh no, we didn't.
Yeah, so we should, because so, yeah, awesome.
It's very
now.
Cool. They yeah. so they announced that they're going to support Twitch as well for their for sharing and streaming. And I think it sounds like you're going to have a choice between Twitch and Ustream.
Yeah, no one's going to use Ustream.
Well, no one's going to use Ustream.
They never mentioned Ustream at all. So
right, they haven't specifically said that they're switching the streaming platform. So you're inferring a little bit.
I am inferring. Yes, I am assuming that you're going to be able to choose.
But yeah, they haven't specifically said that we're ditching Ustream. Although they
they haven't said one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
Ustream is pretty much done, I think. Right.
Yeah.
So nobody really uses it.
And they probably realize
not
that.
Not for gaming, anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's like Twitch is like a brand name now. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like gaming.
It's a gaming. Exactly. Yeah, it's a gaming streaming site. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Ustream is like what Tanya does when she's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, Ustream people being retarded at this party. She doesn't.
Oh, so that's a thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. Oh, they announced like this little big planet hub that's going to be free to play. I'm not really sure what exactly that is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll find out how that's going to work. But, yeah, I'm not sure. That's
they had
cool,
amazing camera angles and camera work.
Hey, for check out how this
now I want to go watch the conference.
Check out how
I
this remote play works, and here's a wide angle view of the audience watching.
Yeah, they would switch to that wide angle like by default whenever like gameplay footage was coming up on screen. It's like wait, no, go back. Oh, son of
a bitch. Hey, look how excited the crowd is watching this gameplay footage.
There were a couple like really bad zooms in there. It's like, I don't know if they had anybody in the control room like talking to the camera guys like beforehand, you know, like tallying them up and shit. Like, you know, because the way that it works, it's like, all right, camera two, I need a close zoom and take. And then, you know, you start talking to the next camera and setting them up. It's like they didn't do that. So there were a couple times when they switched to one camera and it was like super far out. And then they're like, oh, fuck, I'm live. So they super zoom in, go way too far in. And they're like, oh, back out. And then they just back and forth, like Zoom. It was like, diddly-doo, diddly-doo, diddly-doo. it was crazy shit.
That's funny.
Really, really bad. I felt bad for those guys.
No.
Anyway.
Anything else, Chris?
I mean, there's other announcements, but nothing that's all that huge.
Yeah, it was overall, it wasn't like, nothing was really mind blowing.
There was a ton of indie stuff. You know, I mean, we could go into more of that if we really wanted to, and, you know. That's pretty much it. They gave you a date for Gran Turismo 6. Yay.
Yeah.
Hope you're excited for that.
It's going up against Drive Club and Forza 5. Which I guarantee you'll sell more than both just because of install base.
Right. Install base is bigger, but. Yep. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. We got a couple emails though. You want to go over those?
Well, I still have more shit to. Oh yeah, I guess.
Well, let's inject these because it's probably going to be along the same lines. So, go
I'm
for
injecting
it, Jason.
Right now.
Inject
this is
it.
From Mr. Robbie. How are you, sir?
What's
he
up,
says, hey, Indus. So now that Gamescom Day 2 has come and gone, what are your direct takes on the two new consoles? Specifically, has Microsoft and Sony reached a point of parity that it's really just preference for you at this point? Or are there enough differences to make your side one over the other? And I asked this on Twitter, and I got a few responses. But do you think Microsoft has changed enough to even out people's decisions? Are there more people willing to go back to them now? I am definitely looking at it now. So that's his first part. Should we answer that? Right
yeah, away? Let's answer that. Yeah. I definitely feel like there are a lot more people looking at the console now. It has not changed my perspective just because of the games. So there's going to be more stuff on PS4 in the near future that I'm going to want to play. But from like a console perspective, they're pretty much identical now.
One same comes with thing as last gen.
Yeah.
It's going
one is $100 more that comes with a camera and one's, you know, than the other. And that's pretty much it. So it really depends on A, if that's an issue for you, and B, if, you know, which games you want more.
I see. I don't have pretty brand much. Loyalty by any means. And yeah. I think on a lot of, you know, levels, you know, they're going to be very much the same for the most part. But right now, you know, to me, it's looking like Sony's going to have the better exclusives, you know, just like they did with the last generation. And I mean, that's a selling point.
When are you looking to get your, if you buy a PS3 or PS4 day one, when are you looking to possibly get an Xbox? Because launch titles...
Shortly thereafter, yeah. I mean,
the launch
titles
on PS4 is exclusives are pretty weak compared to the Xbox.
That's true.
There's two. There's Knack and Killzone 4.
Mm-hmm. I'm also looking at, like, the cost of, like, entry
but,
as well.
No, that's what I mean. It for me, it depends on when I... Like, I'm getting the Xbox day one, but I'm going to get a PS3 or 4 December, January, somewhere around my birthday, Christmas,
yeah,
hopefully,
yeah.
So I don't have to pay for it. So I basically look at this. What exclusive games do I want to play between that time and that time?
I don't think I've scoped out that far ahead. Well, I mean, no, certainly not Knack or anything like that. But, you know, there is the whole remote play functionality as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, I mean, that's kind of a bonus to me because I've already got a Vita. I want to kind of utilize that, you know. And there's still plenty of time for them to announce some of these, you know, pretty cool indie titles as well. Like, those might be ready, you know, shortly after launch. I don't know. The hardware and the software lineup, I don't know. They're speaking to me, man. And all that Xbox is really doing right now is like, come play Killer Instinct.
Like, well, that's true. You really don't play expensive. Sports. You like Dead Rising.
Yeah.
Crimson
like Dead Rising, I really want to play, but yeah. That's not enough to kind of win me over just yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, for you, Jeff, there's a few more games, but you
I'm
know,
honestly
from
thinking
Jason's
what
perspective,
play,
it's like Killer Instinct, and that's it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what he's going to play on.
Well, okay, so here's Jason, and you know, obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the decision to go with PS4 first also has to do with, you know, what's the first game that he's really, really going to want to play on next gen that's coming out?
Oh, Infamous.
Infamous.
That's why I specifically asked him what would be the timeline, because that would make sense, because you're like, oh shit, I need to play Infamous. I'm not going to be able to get an Xbox till after that. So yeah, that I can see. But I'm honestly struggling to see why Jason would want, if he was getting one within a few months, because Jason's not going to play Killzone 4. I don't think he's going to play Knack. Well, he might buy it because it's a launch title, but other than that,
nope.
It's multi-platform games until
no fuck
February.
About Knack.
So
yeah,
it's like,
I can see that,
that's
but
why
it's
I was
also,
like, mm, that's what I was like,
price
was
point
Killzone,
is also a big factor
Killzone.
Right now, too.
That
you
is
know?
True. Price point is.
Yeah.
I mean, because that, yeah. If we're talking day one, that's coming out of my pocket. If we're talking Christmas or something like that,
then, yeah, then you
yo,
can,
dude, I got gift cards and you know, presents coming and shit. Yeah, we can defer to that. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do
cards.
It as cheap as possible, I guess. I really want Killer Instinct as well.
I
but,
just
man,
I just know, dude, in that first few months, you're gonna be like, fuck. Like, that's if you were planning to buy an Xbox within like a few months after the PS4.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was the only thing that made my decision. Like, I pre-ordered the PS4 first, and I looked at the launch lineup, and I was like, the only game I really want to play is Killzone 4. I don't care about Knack, and all the multi-platform games you can get on anything. So I was like, all right, well, three months apart with each of them, I'm gonna go with the one I at least have three games I want to play.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you by any means. Seriously, you know, I think either is a fine choice. You know,
but let's be honest, if you were to get an Xbox, then it wouldn't just be an extra $100. Because
right.
You'd want to get an arcade stick.
Yep.
So,
which is going to be another $100 plus as well.
Oh, like, easily.
Yeah.
But to go down to Robbie's question, I think now it's basically comes down to the same as this generation. What exclusives you want to play first, and then price drops, I guess.
So the other half of his first part was, do you think Microsoft has turned around enough for the general public to kind of, I don't know, change their tone towards them? Because
I would say
a lot of heat.
I would say many have, but not all.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Well,
definitely not all. Because there's a lot of people that are burned already. It's like, I know a lot of people that are like, too late now. You know, it's like, I already got my pre-order in for PS4
or
whatever.
Yeah, I know some people that are like that too.
Yeah.
And I know people that have totally been like, nope, I'm going back to Microsoft. So it's like, we won't know until sales come in. I think, in terms of a general question or answer this question, I think yes. I think a lot more, like, I know a lot more people now who are like, I'm jumping on the Xbone. Just cause now I don't have to worry about DRM. Now I don't have to worry about used games. Now I don't have to worry about having that Kinect thing. It's like, it's gonna happen. Cause one thing that Call of Duty is a big, 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 big franchise. And Call of Duty is a lot like Warcraft in the way is a lot of people play Warcraft and when a new MMO comes out, people will play that new MMO. But then when their friends are still playing Warcraft, they're gonna go back to Warcraft. And I think a lot of people who play Call of Duty, because the 360 is the Call of Duty box, quote unquote, it sells well on PS3, but I think it sells almost double on 360. I think a lot of people are going to be, all right, well, my friends are playing on here. It's like that whole force thing. Like, hey, like not peer pressure, but if they're getting it, I have to get it. Because that's where my friends play. Because a lot of people just play that game. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be really, really, really close. It's going to come down to who can produce the most units, basically.
It might be a game time decision for me as well. Mm-hmm. It might come down to that. A lot can change, as we've already seen. So,
3 months.
Yeah. Should we move on to Robbie's part two?
Yeah, another question.
Part two, he says, I noticed during the Sony presser, which wasn't on at 6 a.m., so I got to actually watch it. They talked a lot about Vita and games coming for it. But the thing that bothered me was this game, insert title here, will be available on the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 4, which in my opinion creates, if I can play it on the PS4, why do I want or need it on a Vita scenario, reducing the number of possible buyers? What's your thoughts?
I can agree with that. He means buyers on the Vita, not the PS4, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that kind of makes the Vita a little bit more enticing. Cause a lot of times especially with first party games, if you can play it on both, it's going to be, it's likely going to be cross buy.
But that's cause you already have a Vita.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's like, but if you don't, you can see the value there. I mean, I would think, I don't know. I see the value there.
I don't know.
Dude, I use cross-save an awful lot, way more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too, but I didn't buy a Vita for that. Like, not once did I think, really? I'm going to buy a Vita. No, I bought a Vita
They pitched a lot of, cross-play between, the big boy platform and then the Vita.
Yeah, their first commercial was based on that shit. But the problem is, those games that do that aren't the games, minus Dragon's Crown, they're not the games that they also pitched the Vita. The Vita was pitched as basically a portable PS3, just not as powerful. But the games that have those cross-buy stuff aren't the big AAA games that they pitched at the beginning. Like MLB The Show, they show that shit. That doesn't even fucking have cross-buy. I don't even know if you can actually do that. It's like it's games like Guacamelee and like Dragon's Crown, again, is kind of an exception. But Dragon's Crown isn't necessarily a game that takes full advantage of the PS3. If Killzone did something like that, it'd be like, holy fuck, or like Uncharted.
Right.
I don't think it's the games that they had kind of like mixed messaging. It's, we're gonna have a PS3 in your pocket that you can play a PS3 game and take it on the go. But what the Vita's turned into is an indie game fest, which
just from this past conference. I mean, they've been talking about PlayStation Loves Devs and that initiative for a while. But I mean, that was their focus and their tone for this past one. I don't think that's their sole, reason for being in business is to just promote indie games or anything like
that. But they didn't announce any new Vita games that first party I guess they announced one third party, Borderlands 2, that would be a console experience in your hand. Like, where's Infamous? Where's God of War? Where's like those Sony franchises that people love that they are not announcing? Because the third parties aren't announcing anything. Not that aren't indie, I mean. Mm-hmm. And not Borderlands. So I think that's where the problem is. It's like, price and that. I think people are getting mixed messaging. It's like, I don't know. There's a reason this thing isn't going off the shelf. I don't know what it is, because it's a fucking awesome machine. Like I said, like Killzone is fucking awesome. They should be pushing the hell out of that. They need to market the fuck out of that game when that game comes out and have commercials everywhere, show live game footage. I'm not talking like footage of like a dude playing it over his shoulder like they've been doing. No, show like an actual like screen capture footage of this thing. And I think that'll get more people on board. I don't think people are going to look at crossplay and crossbuy because there haven't been games that are like that they've put that into. I don't know, unless you guys
not too many, granted. That. Yeah. I love the idea of it, and I don't know. I mean, they showed off Assassin's Creed Black Flag with the remote play stuff. We're actually getting more into the Vita itself rather than, buying one version or the other.
What was his main question? Oh, yeah, he said that if a game comes out on PS4 and Vita, it would probably cause less people to buy a Vita. And I agree with that. I think what sells consoles in general is killer apps that you can't get anywhere else. You need to play this game. And I don't think the Vita has that yet.
He's got a part three, and it actually ties into this. He says, do you think Sony has the ability to continue to support and push the Vita, or do you think 2014 is its final year and it's just on borrowed time right now?
No, I think it'll be supported still.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it'll be supported by indies. I think third parties already dropped it. Besides the big ones. And I think Sony will still... Well, I don't know. Will Sony support it? Again, where are their announcements? What's coming from Sony?
Well, I mean, you got to think they're launching a new console. You know, they've got Killzone coming. That's a big title. You know, I mean, after Killzone comes out, maybe they'll announce the next big first party title.
But shouldn't they be at least hinting that these are coming though, Chris?
Who knows, man? I mean, right now all the focus is PS4.
It's super hard to say.
So you're gonna drop? You're not gonna do anything about the Vita? Like they just had.
But they are doing something with the Vita. They're bringing out Killzone at least. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like they
completely
dropped it.
You don't get upset. It's not like a defense.
I'm not getting upset. I'm just telling you.
It's an honest question.
And I'm giving you an honest answer.
They had a conversation. Sony did not announce a single game for Vita that was coming from Sony Studios.
That's okay.
Seriously, I mean,
I don't think that's a big deal right now. They've got something coming out, you know. And once that game comes out, maybe they'll announce the next thing. And it's very possible Tokyo Game Show's coming up. Maybe they're gonna. It's a Japanese company. Maybe there's something they're gonna show off at Tokyo Game Show.
Could be.
So it's
I guess.
It's too early
how
to
long
tell.
Are we gonna do? How long we do the whole? They might. They need to get
but
on
they,
that.
But they are already.
It's been over for how long?
They have Killzone coming out. I mean, give them a chance to get that out and get the PS4 out, and so they can recenter their focus.
Sly Cooper was their last game. When did that come out?
I don't know.
February, March,
something like that.
February, and then so Killzone comes out in September. That's a big fucking gap.
No, I agree. I don't disagree at all. But
yeah, that's what I mean. First party, yeah. But I'm saying, like, it's not sending a good message when your own first party is not saying, we have this coming out, we have this coming out, we have this coming out. They're saying, yes, we have a bunch of indie games coming out, and third-party support from, like, grade A developers is very, very minimal outside of Borderlands 2. So
what
message is that saying?
Maybe that right now they're trying to push the cross-play stuff. Like, this is kind of a second screen type thing, or... You know, it's an extension of the PlayStation 4. You know, they're maybe just keeping the focus on PlayStation 4 and, like, trying to spotlight the Vita as just an extension of it, not like it's its own lead platform. Not like, you should select one or the other. They're trying to offer up. And I'm just doing devil's advocate stuff. You know, I think you're right that there's definitely few and far between, you know, as far as first-party stuff is concerned. But, maybe they're just trying to get people accustomed to, you know, thinking of this as an extension.
And
I hope
and
so.
Also,
but...
keep in mind that a lot of the stuff that they've shown off since E3 has been big first-party titles for PS4. And if your studios are busy trying to get those out the door, then sure, they're not going to be working, completely on the Vita right now. But, you know, that doesn't mean that's not going to change. Granted, I mean, they have a bad track record with the PSP, and I agree with you. They're not instilling a whole lot of confidence. But I'm not going to – I don't think that – you know, 2014 is not going to be the death of the Vita. There's going to be at least that year where they're going to try and make up for things.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope it's far
from dead. Other than cross-play and indie games, they're not showing any reason. And I don't think cross-play is going to be enough people to buy it. Some indie games, maybe, but – and hopefully Killzone pushes some. It's really good.
Yeah, Killzone is a big title, and I agree that they should be pushing that more. I mean, that's something they should have showed off at Gamescom.
They should have
E3.
Showed that at Gamescom, yeah.
There's no reason they shouldn't have thrown that up on a big screen and said, check this out. By the way, it's on the Vita, but, you know. In case you couldn't tell, it's on the Vita. You know, I think that would have been a good
answer
pitch.
The question, then, I'll say I think 2014 is the do-or-die year for Vita. Halfway through. If it's not picking up sales halfway through, they're going to have to drop it because they're not going to invest millions and millions, even billions of dollars in something that no one's buying.
I don't know if they drop it so much as maybe rebrand it.
Well, they'll still sell it,
yeah,
but I don't think they'll support it with software they're not going to make money on.
Yeah.
Because indie developers probably love it because it's probably just extra cash in their pocket. They'll let that go, but I don't think they're going to put, like, I'm sure Killzone is a multi-million-dollar game, even though it's on the Vita, and if it doesn't sell enough to make that money back, I can't see them being like, well, you know what, let's try again with Infamous. And I think that's why they're not announcing these things yet. It's because they want to see how games like this do and see how the holiday does when they sell, and then be like, okay, well, is it worth us putting like $15 million into game development and it's only going to sell like 50,000 copies?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we're seeing that with like the Wii U, you know, and shit like that.
Yeah,
too,
everyone's dropping off that. Yeah. I mean, that's the Wii U, though.
There's potential for that. I don't know. They seem to be trying to tightly integrate this thing. So, you know, if this doesn't work, you know, they'll probably try a different approach. But I think, just saying, like, next year's do or die, I think that's a little fatalist. But Yeah, that's
we'll see.
Fine.
I don't want it to be a paperweight. I love the thing, but I'm just kind of being a realist. There's nothing that they have shown confidence, like, in confidence to say that this thing's going to be supported even this year. Why would they go into, like, far next year? Unless TGS proves me wrong. Hopefully at TGS they'll be like, here's some good shit.
Here's Phantasy Star Online 2. Wait, no, it's Tokyo.
That's not coming out in America.
But here's an expansion for PSO 2 that you guys are not gonna get. Yeah. Anyway, we're not getting off topic. We're running a little long though. Robbie did thank us for taking the time to
read that
and for our answers. Love always, Robbie. We love you too, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Do you guys want me to go to the next email, or do you have more stuff to inject?
Sure. Go to the next email. Let's go ahead and do it.
Next email. This is from Aggie CEO.
Aggie.
What's up, dude? What's up, man?
He says, what are your guys' thoughts on Sony going so hard with indies? Just about every game they announced, at least as far as indies, is coming first on consoles to PS3, Vita, and PS4. Do you think it'll be enough to set them apart from Microsoft? Would you rather they threw money at the likes of, say, Rockstar and Ubisoft for exclusives only to have it fade away or go multi-platform? I'd rather they do what they are doing personally. Reason being, Agent, where the hell is that? And Assassin's Creed and LA Noire were both supposed to be PS3 exclusives and ended up not being. So it's almost like wasted money. Unless, of course, you count the access to exclusive DLC as a payoff for it. Anyways, enough of my rambling. Later, guys. Oh, yeah, and what do you think about L'Evolution?
Yeah.
L'Evolution.
What is that? That's Battlefield. That's what they're calling their whole levels in Battlefield that change dynamically when you're playing. It's like L'Evolution. Like transferring.
Cheesy. Oh, yeah. That's just bad.
Another dumb name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, hey, here's some crazy insider info to the industry, guys. Yo, fucking exclusives are expensive as fuck.
Yes,
They're super, super duper expensive unless you pretty much own that studio. It's so hard to go to Rockstar and say, can you guys just do that just for us? But you know what? It's super easy to go to indies and say, yo, we'll give you some cash if you stay exclusive.
We'll buy you some McDonald's for a year.
Yeah. What? And at the same time, it's kind of a, you know, finger to Microsoft, you know, because they're so not against like indie development, but you know, they have not embraced it.
Fond of it, I guess, yeah.
Sony's just fucking taking it. They're snatching up all these dudes and they are running with it. And they're flying that flag. They're like, we love you guys. We love indie developers. We love games and shit. And that's a good flag to fly, I guess. You know, I'm certainly more interested in the PlayStation 4 because of all of that shit. I'm like, these sound like pretty cool exclusives. Yeah, I kind of want this. So,
but in his question though, do you think that's going to separate them in terms of the grand market? Do you think someone's going to be like, shit, I can play Rogue Galaxy on a PS4 or
as far as indies, it's super tough to say. Yeah, because it's still kind of niche. You know, we're not going to see too many commercials about Rogue Galaxy.
I still think most indie players play Rogue Legacy. I still think most indie
players
don't
get my
really...
hype my hopes up, okay? With a new Rogue Galaxy, can we not do that?
I just started thinking about it. I'm like, oh,
we're gonna
be
hear
so
an
cool
online orgasm.
But I think it's just a marketing strategy for the time being. I think we're gonna see.
I don't think it's
way
their
more
focus.
Yeah,
I don't think that should be their focus. If their focus is indie and not, the reason they lost, or I wouldn't say lost, but they got off to a really bad start last generation, is because they said, We don't believe that third parties are that big of a deal. We can focus on our first parties. And then what did Microsoft do? They snatched up the exclusives for a year long. And that's what got them a huge head start. Yeah. Indie games are growing, but I don't think they're going to make a difference in the casual market at all. I don't think.
You're probably right. But you know, bullet points are something that people, you know, casual people look at. And if they see that, you know, PlayStation has 40 more exclusive titles over Microsoft.
If they say it at titles, yes.
Right.
They'll be like, yeah, sure.
Like I said, it's just a bullet point. You know, granted, they might not be the best games. You know, they're not AAA titles.
No, I know
what
you're saying.
Like
if you word it like, hey, exclusive titles, and yes, it looks amazing on paper.
Yeah, and that's something that they can... That's another feather in their cap, I guess.
But in a marketing campaign, if they do exclusive... Okay, Titanfall. Exclusive to Xbox One versus Rhine. Which one do you think the casual market's going to jump onto?
Oh, Titanfall, absolutely.
Yeah, that. So I'm going by his questions of what's going to separate them. Separate for us? Yeah, people love indie shit. People will probably buy a Vita for indie stuff because they can play it on the go and have to use their PC.
Mm-hmm.
But those people that are on the casual market, they're not. It's I don't think it's going to be a game changer in terms of the grand scheme of things. It's another bullet point, like you said. It's another bullet point to put on a box or to put on a thing, being like, we have 40 more exclusives. Uh-huh. And they're like, what are these games? Oh, okay. What do you? It's not Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed or Watch. I don't. Well, not Watch Dogs. We don't know how that's going to do. But yeah. anything else that's gone multi-platform that are fucking millions and millions sellers since last gen. You want GTA 6, son, or 5? 5.
Man, snatching up all these indie dudes, man, is super smart for them, though.
It's definitely going to win over
a low-cost investment, and it's going to just...
Low-cost bullet point.
Yeah.
And they're showing that they're doing it, or Microsoft is saying they're going to do it, but they haven't actually said they said they're going to do it, but it's going to come soon how they're going to do this whole self-publishing thing.
Yeah, they're going to... It's like they don't within know the next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they got to turn that shit around. Maybe next week. Hey.
Due for one. We had a little one this week. Next week.
That's right.
So I think that was it from Aggie. Thank you, dude.
All right. Jeff, you want to round us off with what's left?
I just want to talk about Titanfall because that fucking looks fun.
That looks great, right?
That's been like the talk of Gamescom. Like, by far, Game of Show like blew everyone a fucking way. And that, I can't wait. I've been this hype for a first-person shooter since I don't even know. Probably when Killzone 2 was first coming out, and that was years.
See, I really am tempted to buy this game. I just know that I will not play it.
No, you probably won't.
Because it's online only competitive, right?
Yeah.
No, it's online only cooperative and competitive. The actual mode they showed at Gamescom was actually it's a co-op. It's versus, but you're not fighting each other as AI. You're going to do missions against the other team, and basically kind of who does it faster. So it's competitive, but you're not shooting other people controlled people, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's kind of both. Competitive and kind of co-op.
I gotcha. Okay.
But I don't think there's going to be a single player campaign. They called this online, they called it multiplayer campaign, is what they called it.
Okay.
So yeah, but it just looks, I want to play it everywhere. Yeah. Every demo and people have read, because they didn't show any, live gameplay into someone playing it, but all the impressions on every site is holy fuck. Respawn's got a big one. And yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
It's good. I may end up getting it. We'll see.
I don't know how much I'll play it. I'll get it. I'll buy into that hype. I'll be like, fuck yeah. And then I'll play it for a few weeks.
And then we'll play it for three times.
Suck at this. Just like every Halo that comes out, I usually buy
Titanfall Tuesdays.
Yeah,
and we'll do it for a week and a half.
We should. We'll do at least. We should block that off right now.
Titanfall Tuesdays.
Titanfall Tuesdays. Yeah. Make a thread.
Copyright Interactive Distractions.
Coming February or March.
All rights reserved. Coming from the launch date of Titanfall till about 2 weeks after the launch date of Titanfall. Oh, cool. Yeah, it's exciting, man. This is exciting shit right now, because I don't remember the last time that we had two consoles launching in the same month. It's ridiculous.
Well, the Wii and PS3, probably.
Okay. How about this? Two consoles that are on the same level.
Yeah, that people actually care about. They might even be on, I don't think they're going to be on the same day, but it's a possibility, but I don't see them.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna see same day.
That would be fucking crazy.
That would be nuts.
I would not want to go to a midnight launch. Well, I would want to go to a midnight launch.
I am going to a midnight launch, and I am bringing a microphone. I am bringing a microphone.
Could you imagine the fanboy fights?
Oh my god. I would be in going through the line. Yeah, PS4, Xbox One. Okay, and why?
Oh god.
Well, okay, what about this guy? This guy said the Xbox One sucks. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
See that guy over there in line?
Yeah.
He said you're an idiot for buying an X-Bone.
Yeah.
They start yelling at each other from across the room and it would pretending be to fight and shit.
Awesome. It would be awesome.
Or they'd all get there and just be silent because they're not on a computer.
Just looking down.
Playing the 3DS. Getting a console.
Moment. Yeah.
or their Vita. But
that's pretty much cool. It. I don't think there's anything else big that happened.
All right. Well, that's all the emails that we have. So, okay. So those of you guys that actually emailed in for question of the week, and we actually got like, six or seven of you guys. Thank you very much. We will be doing this question of the week next week. So, stay tuned for that.
You promise?
I promise. Let's do some new releases.
Okay.
So next week we are getting, Final Fantasy XIV Online, A Realm Reborn for PS3. Killer is Dead, Madden NFL, Lost Planet 3, which I didn't even know was coming out next week.
I didn't know either. That kind of dropped off.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything for that.
I haven't seen much of anything for that. So, Hatsune Miku Project Diva F.
Yeah.
And Painkiller Hell and Damnation. And that is your PS3 list. 360 is also getting Lost Planet 3. Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows is coming next week. And then we've got, Madden NFL, Killer's Dead, and Painkiller also coming out there. And there is some Call of Duty, expansion coming next week. It's the Apocalypse expansion. How exciting. The Wii U eShop is getting Pokemon Rumble U. And the Vita is getting Spelunky and Real Boxing. And that is your new release list. Pick of the week.
Charlie Murder.
Yeah, I was just going to say Charlie Murder. That's probably what I will.
Killer is Dead looks pretty interesting. I don't have any inside info for you guys. I've been watching a little bit of that, a little bit of Lost Planet 3, but I haven't had any hands on with anything we just mentioned.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So if I was going to pick something that I might actually buy next week, it would probably be Spelunky.
Okay. You don't have that already?
I do not have. Oh. Actually, I might have it on Steam.
Yeah, probably.
It's when you bought all those games.
It's pretty sad that you say that we have to say it that way. I might have it on Steam. I'm not 100% sure.
Vita's a really good platform for it, especially if you like the controls and stuff.
It's a great platform for all that stuff.
Yeah, it really is. Let me see if I have Spelunky.
Buy a Vita, people.
Seriously.
It's only $200 now. And play Spelunky on it.
That's right. Play Spelunky on it. I do not have Spelunky.
Hey.
So there you go.
Play Killzone Mercenaries.
Beta.
PS Plus member. Worth it.
Go check that.
I might go and download that, like, after this podcast.
Do it.
All right.
I think you'll like it. It's not super crazy.
Cool. All right, cool. So should we move to, repeat the question of the week?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So in reality, the deal is, what are you doing with your old stuff? Hoarding it, right?
We're not talking about like grandma and grandpa or old consoles.
Do you call grandma and grandpa stuff?
Maybe.
Stuffy. I keep my grandma stuffed in the corner.
That would hurt.
Yeah, there's
painful.
A couple different levels there.
I think you.
Let's not go
down. See, there's a line, and you just kind of went. You just like sprinted over it.
I did.
You did.
I overshot. Sorry.
But so the idea is that when the next gen consoles come out, are you trading anything in towards it? And what are you doing with your old consoles? Are you going to keep them hooked up? Do they have to move? What's the deal? So to answer the question of the week, drop us a line at email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. You can get us on Twitter. We are Interactive Distractions. Wait. Sorry. We are Indus Podcast.
Whoa.
Sorry. In this podcast.
Well, technically, you're right.
I am right, but, our Twitter name is In This Podcast. Individually, we are In This Chris Unistrike and In This Geoff.
It's Geoff.
Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, and Stitcher Marketplace. Search for Interactive Distractions, not In This Podcast. And you will find us. And,
top of the list.
That's right. Huh. And if you are on Retroids, actually, if you're not on Retroids, come join the community and come talk about games with us. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I've got. Anything before we leave?
I'm gonna check in my salty bets.
Salty bets?
How we doing?
We'll do.
Yo, fucking Mike Tyson versus Killer Whale?
What?
Oh shit!
Hold on.
That is ridiculous. I don't even know how that works.
Hold on.
So Mike Tyson.
Saltybet.com.
Oh, all right. So, are you guys familiar
explain
with
this
salty
real
bet?
Quick.
Let's explain this. All right.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah explain
kind of
that.
Familiar
we mentioned
with
it like
Mugen,
three times.
Right? Kind of like an open source style of. Fighting game engine, you know, people create their own characters, they rip sprites from other games and stuff, and just make a bonkers fucking batshit crazy game, right? So this is a stream that runs 24/7 essentially, and it just lets the AI control all of the
everything. Flight. Yeah.
And there's an interface built around it where you can log in and bet salty bucks, you know, which is just digital dollars. You know, you don't win anything really. You don't get to keep anything. You don't have to pay any money, although there is a subscription thing. Anyway, so there's just crazy fucking characters. And right now I'm watching Mike Tyson fight a killer whale.
Which so doesn't really come up very well.
No, this is not working out very well.
No.
It's so fucking weird. So Mike Tyson, actually, he's got the one punch knockout. And so he's super overpowered. But then the killer whale, like, is actually below the screen and just sometimes...
Yeah, you can't even see him.
...jump up. This is so weird. I don't know what the hell's going on.
So pick of the week, saltybets.com.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Now he's actually doing something, at least.
Like, earlier today, I saw Fat Albert fight Sabretooth.
That's awesome.
Ronald McDonald is, like, super overpowered in that game.
Homer Simpson is in it.
Oh, yeah. Various iterations.
Hellboy versus... Wait.
Yeah, Hellboy versus Ken.
Oh, yeah, Hellboy versus Ken and
Akuma. One
version
of Ken. It was like Hell Ken EX plus whatever.
And there was Akuma versus someone. I can't remember who he was fighting.
Yeah, there's Shingoki, there's Mecha Akuma, or Mecha Goki. Yeah, there's...
All right, guys, it's been episode 294.
Yeah, I know, I want to...
I think we're done.
Yeah, there's like 3,000 different...
It's crazy.
It's kind of ridiculous. I just keep watching Mike Tyson getting beat up.
The chat is so much fun right because they're constantly trying to fuck with you. It's like you have 30 seconds before a match starts, mm-hmm. you know, where you know the two opponents that are fighting. And during that time, you can place your bets, and people in the chat are just like constantly trying to fuck with you.
It's like, just being like,
always
vote
bet
for this
on
goal.
DBZ.
Yeah.
Never bet on DBZ. Always bet tits.
Yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. They usually tell you to bet on somebody who you shouldn't.
Of course.
It's ridiculous, and I've never been this excited about watching AI hackers fight. Like, everybody at work is just totally into this. It's
a little bit
so
ridiculous.
Much fun.
God, yeah. This is such an amazing idea. These people got to be...
One punch fucking knockout against the killer whale.
Nice.
They go Iron Man.
Alright, I think we're done here.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace or Stitcher Radio, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.